Hey, this is Zep, and on behalf of the guys, Strew, Boomer, and Lukey, we want to thank you for downloading and listening to our podcast of The Ticket Outdoors, brought to you by Mills Fleet Farm. And remember, when nothing's going right, just go fishing.
Is your green thumb ready? It's time to start your gardening projects. Mills Fleet Farm's Outdoor Garden Center is open. Get nursery quality at low fleet prices. You'll find a big selection of colorful hanging baskets and containers. Brighten up flower beds with annuals and perennials. Plus their vegetable plants, herbs, and more. Stop by your local Mills Fleet Farm's Outdoor Garden Center, and you'll get to enjoy beautiful color all summer long. Mills Fleet Farm.
It's time for Ticket Outdoors on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Psych. Right now, Strew and Nicole Jacobs are dancing. I wanted to let him finish. He hasn't gone in for the big dip yet.
I'm a pretty good slow dancer. I
bet you are.
Yeah, I'm not really good at the the other stuff. I like close to close and cheek to cheek.
And he's not talking about the one on his face.
Yeah, I don't think she'd appreciate that.
No. I'm actually pretty good. My wife's a good dancer. She can polka like a champ.
Right.
I'm not very good at that.
No, either. I know the one, the old two-step or whatever my aunts taught me on the American Legion dance floor at the weddings when the uncles were too drunk to dance. Come on, Brian. I'm like, oh, no. I know that dance. That's the one I can do.
You know what? But I tell you what, I respect it. I'm one of these followers. I will occasionally flip channels and watch the dancing show. What's it called? Dancing with the Stars?
Yes, yeah.
They are actually athletes. I'm telling you, some of the things these guys do and ladies do and not get hurt blows you away. So it's pretty amazing.
Well,
for the
what do you
guys
think when, who's, I mean, Emmett Smith, Jerry Rice,
real
who's the little
actually,
gymnast, Sean Jefferson, Johnson, Sean Johnson, she won it. So
Donald Driver.
That's the only one that can keep up with them. And then Kirstie Alley just falls in the
floor
and cries.
What in God's name does this have to do with being on the outdoors?
Welcome to Ticket Outdoors. Oh, are we on the air? Ticket Outdoors, the wild card. Strewman with us,
back
our producer.
In town. Strewman's back in town.
Mark Lukey taking Boomer's seat tonight, and he's ready to fill it. Boomer, I think he's been having a good time. I don't know. I haven't received one photograph from him.
Yeah.
You know, there's a fine line, Boomer, between having a good time and sharing it with your friends and bragging.
I thought he moved up there, man. It seems like he lives up there.
Yeah. She's got her own card, ladies and gentlemen, and there she is, Nicole Jacobs, our guest in studio tonight. Good to have you back. Yeah. I thought that was actually true.
Thanks for having me. Sound effects, awesome.
Right. It's,
we're high tech.
Trained since I was last here.
Nobody wants to hear. I did catch my first. Oh, go ahead.
You've heard nothing yet. Wait till you hear it. Mark and I are sitting here with the 2015 technology making sounds with our cell phones.
We finally gave up on Zep actually trying to run them through the radio station.
Hey, Nicole, you weren't here for the Christmas thing last year, but I came in with a boombox.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
These guys were really impressed how they did that.
That was awesome. That'll be on our best of CD.
You didn't come in with one of those like duck calls or wild calls. Have you seen those rabbits in the store where they make literally they're like elephant calls and dead coyotes?
Oh, it's
hilarious, like some of the calls.
What sound does a dead coyote make?
I have no idea.
I bet not much of one.
Hey, Zip, you had a good week, right? How'd it go this week with you?
It went well. I caught my first walleye of the season.
You mentioned that,
I wanted to do was, it was just a little 8 to 10-inch walleye, and I was actually fishing for some crappies, just trying to grab some crappies off the shore down in Spring Lake. They're full of black crappies. You can't miss,
right?
Yeah, right. That's all we caught. And so my daughters, that was every 2 years I get them out. Now we're out there for about an hour and they're like, that's it, we're done. And so that was our that's it, we're done. We got it out of the way right away this year. But then got over to, was it Maxwell Bay? It's Minnetonka.
I've never been on the lake.
It's a very good bay.
I was trying to find your largemouth out there, Nicole, but I did run into some smallies around some around the docks. I was playing around trying to get some largemouth, but ended up with some smallmouth, some good little bass or whatever. But you know, typical. I didn't have the electronics or the T-Pro
boat.
T-Pro 195 or Alumacraft boat that Boomer has up in Devil's Lake, where he's just killing it. I guess I don't want to tell the man's story, but we're going to have a full Lake Report with Boomer at the end of tonight's show.
I think Mark, I like Mark's idea. Boomer does the Lake Report every week in the last 15 minutes, and he's a big part of our show. As a matter of fact, you and I would be crap without Boomer on the show, and hope he's not listening because I don't want him to get a big hit, but
yeah,
Boomer's
really
a big part of the show. But I think, I like Mark's idea, for the first 10 or 15 minutes, we should interview Boomer as if he was a regular fishing guy that we don't know. We'll find out all about Boomer's life because we don't know much about it except since we met him on the air here. That'll be kind of fun.
We'll interview Boomer. I didn't give him a couple extra minutes. Well, yeah, you're right. I think probably pretty typical is true of most guys and gals in Minnesota, and that is, I don't know what the heck I was even fishing with. I was jigging. It was a short little one with a small hook, and I threw some live bait on it, some minnows. But, I don't know walk the walk and talk the talk stuff that Boomer does. He makes us legitimate. Now, if you want to talk deer hunting or some other things like that, but fishing, man, that's crazy. That's another language. That's why we brought Nicole Jacobs in for us.
Am I going to speak over your head when I talk about bass fishing?
You go right ahead. Well, tell us how you've been since we've last had you in. You seem to be skyrocketing to stardom. You've got a card here.
That's all for you.
Yeah, it does.
I even personalize it for you.
Zep, anytime, anywhere.
Oh.
What does that mean? Bass fishing. No.
You are my one and only.
Thank you, darling.
Always.
I'm blushing over here. Don't do that.
She signs my card, Strew, three ways, not necessarily means light bulbs.
Oh, gosh.
We're not talking about light bulbs.
You guys are so creative.
You knew you're going to have to deal with us.
I haven't dealt with in the past.
Nicole, you noticed that I got all dressed up just for you, right?
Yes, you look dashing.
One thing I'm surprised, I guess I'm not surprised, when you were trying to climb that ladder and try to get onto the tour that you're on right now, every time I saw you, you showed cleavage. All of a sudden, you're big shot and you're all dressed up. There's nothing left. I mean, come on.
You know, you got to sport the gear. You got to represent your sponsors and partners proudly, and I am very proud of all of them.
Hey,
there's a time and place. We're getting in the summer. I'm wearing shorts on the boat.
I follow you on your various Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, and I see all of those fun shots. And you've been out doing some stuff with some kids too, it looks like.
You know, that's really where my heart's at and what it's about. I really think it's about giving back and really inspiring others to get involved in fishing and whatnot. Better way to start with kids and especially girls, too. You know, there's a big push and there's a lot, going on. It's going to see new trends in the next 10 years. We're going to see a lot more women involved in the sport. And I just really want to be a pioneer for that.
Well, Zepper, since we just jumped right into this, why don't you formally introduce this young lady here.
Well, I thought I did already.
Not really.
Here's Nicole Jacobs.
Okay, who is Nicole Jacobs?
Nicole Jacobs is, I don't know, I'm not reading her card. I should know.
You forgot about me.
No.
I'm broken.
I don't know what league it is, but Nicole Jacobs is a young lady we met a year and a half ago when we started the show, one of our first guests. Yeah. Loves the outdoors, loves fishing, has a cute little son who's about 8 years old. How old is he right now?
Yes, he's 8 years old.
8 years old.
He's a young man
And she's been striving and working hard to try to get into the professional ranks of fishing. Both women and guys, and about 3 months ago, give or take, she spread the good news that she just got picked up by Walmart, I think, as one of your sponsors. And now you're there, and you're starting and learning all about what the real world is all about as far as fishing is concerned.
Right, it's a different reality. Let me tell you, I fish the FLW Tour, the Walmart FLW Tour, as a co-angler. Really why I wanted to start as a co-angler. I really wanted to learn. I want to learn from the best. I've only been doing this for 2 years. So I'm still learning, and I'm very blessed to be learning from the best in the world.
All we see is the glamour from the guys catching the big fish or the ladies catching the big fish and the beautiful days and the meals and the fundraiser you guys get together. We don't see the crap. We don't see the hard work that's in. You have to be working your butt off not only to do the stuff you're doing, but to network, to go to the fundraisers, to work with the kids. There's an awful lot more involved than just getting in a boat and catching a fish.
And there's a lot that goes into fishing. I don't know if a lot of our listeners understand what it takes to be a competitive fisherman. Not just me as a co. I have so much respect for the guys I practice with and just to see their endless efforts.
Why are you hitting the table?
Speaking with conviction.
Right.
No, just to see the people and the time they put on the water. I mean, Adrian Avina, for example, is a young guy on tour. He was telling me this week why he feels he's topped five this last tournament. He was out at 2 a.m. looking for brush piles. I mean, You're gonna see that. You know, why is there certain ones always excelling? It's because they're putting in the endless hours and effort to be successful. That means changing out their line all the time. That means staying up. You don't sleep for that week you're on tour. You just don't, you know. When I'm practicing for 3 days, otherwise 2 days, and then I'm going to do promo events at, like, dealerships and whatnot. But I really look up to these anglers and just being able to learn, like I said. It's a grind, but I love what I do.
What is the biggest surprise that you found? Because the perception is, here's the perception of what these guys do. Here's reality. What is the biggest surprise that you found?
What do you mean by that?
Like, is it a good old boys club? I mean, you know, are they accepting you? Did you think you'd be accepted with open arms? And I'm Nicole Jacobs from Twin Cities. I'm going to go out and storm the world. So maybe some people resisted the fact that you're a female coming from around here.
You see it in all walks of life. I mean, you're dealing with people from the north, people from Baptist country. You're dealing with all different personalities. The good old boys, yes, there are those good old school anglers that are very respectful and very kind to me. And then there's others that'll be kind in my face, and, you know, and they don't like women on tour. It is what it is. I kill everybody with kindness. I don't really address any of that. I just, you know, you can't play into that. They want to get in your head. I get in my own head. I'm abusive to myself. So it's like, you know, but it's very interesting that you bring that up. It's just, you deal with a lot of walks of life, and it is there. You do deal with some of the sexism, some of the, you know, all personalities. But
how many tournaments have you fished? And tell me the difference between the first tournament, your comfort zone, your education, your success, as compared to the most recent tournament.
Oh, gosh. I am such a better, stronger angler than I was the first tournament. I did not even have the skill sets when I went into Toho.
But you thought you did.
Yeah, I knew I didn't know how to wacky rig or, like, certain styles of fishing. And to be able to properly learn from different anglers, and I've gone out with different people to fish and practice with, it's just amazing what these guys know and can, you know. It's just really impressive. And then to this last tournament, even though I've consistently caught the same amount of fish, and I haven't really been successful, in my opinion, I haven't. I mean, I'm sitting in 100th place out of, you know, it's not really good.
One more question about that, okay? Does it bother the person you're fishing with? What is his role? What is he or she called?
So when,
if you're the co-angler, what is that person called?
They're the pro.
Right.
They're the professional.
Nicole's handler.
All right. Does it bother the pro when he hears that echo from you hitting the side of the boat all the time, like you're
hitting the
notes?
We got to get her some big mittens to mellow out on.
I'm sorry.
We've got some time to spend with Nicole, and we're going to talk about professional bass tour and rookie of the year and all that good jazz. We've got Carla and Steve Cook, owners of Mel George's Elephant Lake Lodge. And they're talking about ATV trails up north. When we come back with Ticket Outdoors.
The Saturday night game of the week. St. Paul's Saints baseball on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Charging hard. He leaves his feet and dives to make the catch.
Our broadcast start with Live from Lowertown with Ben Holson and Sean Aronson. We talk Saints, baseball, and more starting at 5 p.m. Then the Saints pregame show starts at 6:45 p.m. followed by play-by-play from Sean.
Drilled high, deep left field. Well hit. Way back. Goodbye.
Every Saturday, Saints home game on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Proudly fly our colors this Memorial Day. A 20-foot in-ground flagpole kit from Mills Fleet Farm is $89.99. A Perception Conduit 9.5-foot kayak is red, white, and blue. Just $349.99. The Zebco Folds of Honor Spin Cast or Spinning Combos are only $29.99. 32-pack Landscaper Flats on sale, just $9.99 at Mills Fleet Farm. And on Memorial Day, remember those who fought for our freedom.
Happy Wednesday. This is your 105 The Ticket weather from Nature's Fury. Clearing clouds overnight, going to be a low of 45. Tomorrow, the start of a couple sunny days in a row, going to be 72 for a high for the Saints home opener. 74 is sunny on Friday. Your Memorial Day weekend, highs around 70 all weekend long. Small chance of rain on Saturday, bigger chance on Sunday, and on Monday, it's about a 50-50 chance. This weather update is brought to you by Nature's Fury. You can find Nature's Fury at your local Cub Foods and select holiday stores.
Smokes! That's the fourth straight kill shot.
I've been getting in some practice.
Is that a new rifle, too?
Yep. Traded for it. Make that five.
Lakes Trading Company. Buy, sell, trade, and receive expert firearms training. Permit to carry classes are also available at the indoor range. LakesTradingCo.com.
If you love the outdoors, then you probably have a truck that you love too. Custom Truck Accessories can help protect your truck from the rigors of outdoor activities. They have custom seat covers and floor mats to protect against the mud and dirt from the field. Toppers and tonneau covers to protect your gear. If you're a truck guy, you'll appreciate the knowledge and experience of the Custom Truck Accessories crew. Visit CustomTruckAccess.com or stop by their store to see what a difference being family-owned can make for you.
We at Dan's Southside Marine would like to redefine the term man's best friend to mean his boat. Now, before you get all tweaky, let's talk this through. Although your dog is fun, dependable, and great to take fishing, so is an Alumacraft Navigator 165CS. And while your dog may retrieve ducks with lightning speed, he'd have to be just a tick faster to pull you up for a slalom run like the Stingray 200 Bow Rider. And sure, your furry friend obeys your every command with heartbreaking enthusiasm, but think of the enthusiasm you'll feel watching the receptionist from the gym sunbathe on your Premier Pontoon Escapade 235. And finally, your boat will never drink too much lake water and throw up in your boat. To learn more about the best boats and motors in the Twin Cities, or to complain about the dog thing, visit Dan's Southside Marine.
You'll not find a bigger inventory of Premier Pontoons and Alumacraft boats anywhere in the Twin Cities. Don't wait. Now's the time to buy. Any boat you see online is available for sale at Dan's Southside Marine.
Steve Straczynski here of Coldwell Banker Burnett. It's time, my friend. If you're a Ticket Outdoors fan, then you're also a fan of hunting and fishing. I've got 29 years in real estate licensed in both Minnesota and Wisconsin, and I'll consider it a privilege to help you find that perfect lake home or the 40-acre piece of heaven that's hiding a Boone and Crockett right now. Hey, check me out on Facebook or email STRU@STRU.com. It's your money. Thanks. And thanks for having fun with us on the Ticket Outdoors.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
I'd like to thank all of our sponsors, Dan's Southside Marine, Fleet Farm, Alumacraft, Lakes Trading Company, and Custom Truck Accessories. Thanks for jumping on board with Ticket Outdoors, being part of the show. I believe we have... Oh, no, this isn't the mystery guest.
No. Mystery guest is going to be about 8 o'clock tonight.
Okay, we've got... Let me reach over and do this. We're going to punch a couple of buttons and bring on to Ticket Outdoors Carla and Steve Koch. Owners of... Did I get that right, Koch?
Yes, you did. You did
owners
really
well. Of Mel George's Elephant Lake Lodge up in Elephant Lake. Carla and Steve, are you both on with us?
I am on. Carla is back near the bar. We can get her on, though.
No, that's all right. You leave her right
you,
there.
You keep her cleaning cabin, sir.
No, that's fine. Well, Steve, welcome to Ticket Outdoors.
Well, thanks, guys. Appreciate being on.
Tell us about the lodge. I'm not real familiar with Elephant Lake. Where is that?
It is 15 miles northeast of Orr, Minnesota, which is 50 miles north of Virginia.
Boy,
oh yeah. You're getting up in the sticks, as my dad calls it.
I would say so.
Yeah. Steve, now tell us about Mel George's Elephant Lake Lodge.
Okay, we have, my wife is third generation owner. She's a Mel George.
Oh, so you're the one working for her.
That's right. She's
gotcha.
The boss.
All right, gotcha.
And so he started the resort in 1937. And then her dad, my wife's dad, ran it after he passed away, and we've had it for 10 years now.
Steve, this is Steve Straczynski. Thanks for being on. We've spoken a couple of times. You're talking about 1937.
Wow.
Correct.
The resort staying in the same family since 1937 is probably unheard of, but you just saying that date reminds me of something, a book that I just got that I'd like to share with you when I'm done, if you want to. But Tim Lesmeister was one of our past guests a couple of weeks ago. He's up in Grand Marais. And he does a lot of graphics and printing and whatnot. He does a lot of things up in Grand Marais. But he knows a guy who wrote a book from about that era called $2 and a Can of Gas. And it was when he came to that part of the state of Minnesota, whether it was up by Orr or Grand Marais, in the 1930s in a Model A, and all he had was $2 and a can of gas. Wow. And I got the book a couple of days ago in the mail, and I can't wait to start reading it. I think the stories have to be wonderful. So the picture what these guys went through in the 1930s up there.
That's right, yeah.
Well, tell sure. How is the lodge, I mean, take us back to them. Is there anything that's still original about it, like, you know, perhaps maybe the main lodge, one particular room or some stuff, the old stone fireplace?
Well, what it is our lodge is actually built in the... Oh, middle to late 70s. It was open for business in 85, but it's on the it's on a Virginia Rainy Lake logging camp site. So we actually have an original cabin from 1910 that we rent out. Carla's dad had refurbished it before we took over, and that's one of our rental cabins. So that's pretty cool. Virginia Rainy Lake was the white pine logging from 1910 to 1929. So Carla's grandpa walked in on the old grade 10 miles into Elephant to purchase the resort site in 37. And so the lodge is bar, restaurant, 8 lodge rooms. We have the little cabin in the back as a rental, and we have 10 cabins in the next bay, which is the original resort site. And they're actually owned by owners. We did a CIC when we took over. So we have past customers that own them, and then we rent them for them.
Hey, Steve, how many acres is Elephant Lake?
742 acres.
Well, I tell you, it's a nice-sized lake, and I tell you what, I've never been there, but I know people who have.
Uh-huh.
And I've been on your website, and your facilities are really, really nice.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So are you the only lodge on Elephant Lake?
We are, yeah.
Yeah, because it sounds like it's about that size. So this sounds like one of those a little more intimate, a little more very much out of the way, just kind of when you want to just check out of the rat race. I imagine those are the kind of folks you get up there.
Right, yeah. We tell everybody we're off the beaten path.
A lot of repeat people that come back year after year?
Yes.
How's the fishing?
There you go.
It's pretty darn good. We have a lot of panfish and elephant, which is good. And then there's a lake 4 miles down the road from us that has no resort on it with good access. And that's a good walleye lake. That's Black Duck Lake.
Okay, right. B-L-A-C.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
Hey, I'll tell you what. The reason we call Steve and Carla is because of our friend George Novak, who's building the bar for the Elwoods Bar in Lana Lake. So the whole story we'll get back
building
to later
the
on.
Bar.
The bar for the bar, yeah.
Yep.
Whatever,
I've been in contact with him. I know the story. So.
Yeah, well, he was telling me about what's going on up there, and I think Steve knows you pretty well, but there's issues up there that you guys are concerned about because you're restricted as to the use of the ATVs and UTVs on logging roads or whatever in the Crane Lake area. He was saying that it gets to be such a hassle where you guys go up there, you try to get a lot of people to come up and spend time with you, and they ride their machines for a little while and go through the woods. They got to put them back on trailers, go someplace else and do it again. And what you're trying to do is get all these roads connected. Am I correct? And tell us a story all about that, would you please?
Yeah, well, we have what's nice about out in our area is it's all public land once you get away from the lakes, and there's a lot of little pothole lakes around here. But there's a ton of logging and forest roads, and perfect place if there ever was one to ride these machines. But it's always been restricted. So we are in Minnesota, we are in St. Louis County, and those are two strikes against us. But we're working. We're working very hard, and actually, I think our timing is right. Finally, we've got everybody on, as far as the feds, the state, and the county, and we actually have a meeting set up on the 27th. In the LaCroix district, the federal office down there, with everybody from the county, the state, and the feds. And we got a map made, and we're going to sit down and say, this is what we want. What do we got to do to get this to happen? So hopefully it's going to work out for us finally.
Do you, are the other folks up there, the other landowners on board with this, do you have some support?
We have a lot of support. I would expect us to have a 500-member club by fall. I think we're already at 160. We started at the end of April, and we should have a pretty large club. Everybody that visits me wants to be a member. The other area businesses in Crane Lake and in Bike area, they've got a lot of good support. So, it's pretty good.
You talked about the fact that you are in St. Louis County and the state of Minnesota are two strikes against you right off the bat. I don't ride sleds. I'm not much of a snowmobile guy, but I have a lot of friends do, and they religiously go to Wisconsin to ride snowmobiles for the same reasons almost, because they say there's better trails and they're better groomed and there's more trails and they go a lot better places than in the state of Minnesota. So we're losing tourism, I'm guessing, as a result of that. The same thing with ATVs and UTV trails up where you are.
Yeah, it's easier to say no than to work with us. But like I say, we're trying to get this thing turned around, because for our little businesses that are seasonal at best up here, it would be huge for us. Because we do really well snowmobiling. We do have good trails. Very rarely we don't get snow. Like this year, Minnesota had no snow, but kind of our area. Yeah, we had eight good, great weeks of snowmobiling.
You were talking about the restrictions and how difficult they are. What is the main objection? Why can't they connect these trails for you guys? What are the objections?
The biggest thing is, it's like I say, it's easier to say no. We've had people, like right now we have a district ranger in the federal office in Cook. He came from out west, and he actually put ATV trails in three different western states in the national forest. And so he's for it, and that's what we've never had before, is usually get somebody up here and they're pretty anti-motorized. And so that's the fight you get right off the bat, so you don't even get to have a conversation, and it's done.
Tell us a story about the first time you got some kind of a ticket for riding on a country road.
Well, I had a few...
cocktails.
confrontations with our local warden, and he would warn me a few times, and...
Like Barney Fife, he's got the bullet in his pocket.
And, yeah, he swerved the truck to
now Steve.
My pass just so I had to stop for him, which I would have anyway.
Yeah.
But I was a mile from home, and I always tell everybody, you know, we're 10 miles of dirt road. We don't have mail delivery, but I can get a ticket on this damn road out here, which doesn't make sense. But anyway, we had a chat, and he told me, he said, I have to write you a ticket. He said, you're not going to stop. I said, well, you're right, and you got to do what you got to do. He said, well, if you don't like it, talk to your legislator. I said, well, I'll make sure that I do, sir. That's kind of what started the whole ball rolling. And then I met up with Bruce from Crane Lake last deer season, and they were trying some efforts on their end. And I said, let's get together and get this thing rolling. So that's kind of how it started.
You know, it'd be kind of nice if the folks in the area could take care of themselves. I mean, and then you could get these kind of things passed. It seems like we have, you know, too many legislators down here in the state that make decisions for folks all over the state that really don't have any business there.
Right. Well, and our deal is St. Louis County, I mean, that encompasses Duluth.
Right.
Well, you know, we're way north of that in a whole different ballgame out on our 10 miles of dirt roads. It's two different things, but we have to play by their rules, and that's what kind of makes it tough.
Hey, Steve, have you guys got a website or something where if someone wanted to put their own two cents into the basket and maybe make some comments to the DNR or whoever's going to be making these decisions, can someone support you somehow?
Well, as of right now, we are in the process of, we're going to have a link off of the Crane Lake Tourism Bureau, but that hasn't been set yet. It's in the process. And then we just had Orr just a couple nights ago agreed to be our sponsor for the grant aid money from the county, and we're hoping that they'll put us up on their link, and then we're going to get a website for the club, but that's still in the works. We're just freshly formed here, so but yeah, we're any business in the loop here is taking memberships and really talking it up, so hopefully in the next month or so we can have some online stuff going on.
Well, any publicity that you get, and part of it is coming from us at the 105 The Ticket, and we're glad to be a part of it. We're glad to help, so we're going to spread the word for you as well. But we're going to change topics a little bit here. I heard all about your little plane crash with a bush pilot. Tell us a story about the plane crash with a bush pilot.
Well, that was a few years back, and it was an early October morning, and actually, the logging camp, like I was telling you, that this lodge is located on, there's 143 of them from north of Orr all the way to the Canadian border. And there was a guy on the lake that had a plane, and he was kind of interested in knowing where some of them were. So I said, well, let's go flying, and I'll point some of them out to you from the air.
Real so, close range.
So we went and flew for about an hour, and, I mean, we left his dock. It was like a J-3 replica, a little experimental plane, and had a nice set of floats on it when we left, and we flew for an hour or so, and then we had met a guy down a little road, and he says, well, we're almost back to Elephant Lake, and he said, well, let's go check this guy's cabin. I said, that's fine. It wasn't too far from where George has his cabin, and so, of course, we drop elevation down about 1,000 feet, and we're circling the cabin, looking it over, and the plane quits. And it's like, oh, shit.
We have a seven-second delay. You're okay.
Yeah. He's like, beep. We got a problem. I said, sure. And I said, well, the closest water is over basically straight across from where George Novak has his cabin. So we aimed for it. We come up a little short. We did miss the spruce trees, though, which is good.
Yeah.
And we ended up going through the swamp grass and the tag alders and basically ripped the floats off the plane and
holy balls.
Wild ride.
On its nose. And so as we landed, we're on the other side of the creek we were trying to land in from the road. And this is early October, so we get out, pull the tail back down so it doesn't look like a crash. Looks more like it's parked there. There was tall enough swamp grass we could hide the floats that were kind of spread all over like a yard sale.
Sounds like me when I wrecked my old man's truck.
Yeah, and so we walked across the creek, which is about neck deep. I had a hooded sweatshirt. I would get back to the road. I had algae balls and snails in my pocket. And so we were about 2.5 miles from Elephant Lake at this point, and we had to slosh our way back. Walked in the house, told my wife, Carla, I says, well, we're back, honey. She says, I see that. And I said, we walked home, and it didn't register right away to her. She's like, oh, you did? And she looked at us and saw the wet line from our neck down. She said, you walked home. I said, that's right. So as the day progressed, we crashed at 8:30 in the morning, and what happened is he ran out of fuel. He had a broken fuel line, didn't realize it, and we siphoned our gas out while we were flying. And by 8:30 that night, it took a 12-foot rowboat and a cordless combo kit and a chainsaw and some rigging, and we ended up building a wooden frame under the plane. We strapped the floats on backwards, had a local guy from Cousin, had a boom truck, so we cabled it back across the creek, and we loaded it on my trailer. We had it in the neighbor's yard by 8:30 that night.
My
God. Thank goodness those things are built light.
Yeah, wow. Right. So, well, I tell you, we were about between waist and chest deep in muck where we had landed. It was not much of a bottom to it. I think it took about 12 pine trees to put underneath it before we could get it to come out of the muskeg, and so for a couple days after, I was pretty sore.
You wouldn't find that kind of ingenuity down here in the Twin Cities for most part. You guys had to figure it out on the go, apparently, huh?
Yeah. It and was actually a pretty good adventure, but...
well, you're lucky to just be a little sore after a deal like that, just getting the plane out of there, so...
Yeah, nobody was hurt, and he was pretty apologetic about the whole thing, and I shook his hand. We got back to the road. I said, well... I said, I wouldn't have had this much of an adrenaline rush driving to work this morning, I'm sure of it. So it was pretty cool.
Well, let's wrap it up with the ATV discussion here. Tell me, what's the next step? What do you guys have to do to try to finish this thing up and succeed with your goals?
Well, we're going to have that meeting on the 27th, like I said, with our club and then the three government entities. And we're hoping that... They all seem very receptive. They want it to happen. So we're just going to sit down together and say, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What do we have to do? And from what we understand, the federal part of it, which is key, they're doing a safety survey at the Class 3 road. And if it meets the safety, if the engineer deems it safe enough to be on there, then the ranger can, there's no public hearings or anything, the ranger can just open them up for the travel.
Do you want me to help you guys out and try to keep that sheriff from attending the meeting, your buddy the sheriff? I can do that.
We'll take him out fishing.
No, actually, he could come. That's fine.
All right.
I think we got enough numbers going now. I think we'll just have to change him. He can write tickets for reckless driving or being on the wrong trail, but just for riding on the road, hopefully we get him... So where he doesn't have to do that anymore.
Zephyr, let's go up to Elephant Lake. Come on, let's do it.
I'd love to go up to Elephant Lake after the show tonight.
Sure, come on up.
We'll fly.
Yeah, yeah. Where's your bush pilot, buddy? Have him pick us up.
You might not make it.
Tell Carla to keep the bar open.
We'll do that.
Steve Cook, along with his wife Carla, have been in the family since 1937. It's Mel George's Elephant Lake Lodge. Let us know how that works out with the ATV trails up there getting connected, and I'll get some buddies, and we'll bring some sleds up there and give them a try.
That's awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right, take care. Thanks, Steve.
You bet.
Our guest on Ticket Outdoors, when we come back, we're going to get behind the scenes of a professional bass tour with a professional bass fishing woman.
Co-angler.
That's the word I was looking for.
Passionate sports talk.
I think they're going to be okay.
No, they're not going to be okay. How can you say they're going to be okay?
I just know.
Did you watch any of the games?
Watched them.
How can you say they're going to be okay when you saw how they played?
I don't think we're done fighting.
On your sports station, 105 The Ticket.
Boomer here from The Ticket Outdoors. Well, we made it through another long, cold winter in Minnesota. And guess what that means? It's time to hit the open water, baby. And I'm pumped to get back into the Alumacraft T-Pro 195 and get her wet. And I want to remind our listeners, now is a great time to check out the new lineup of Alumacraft boats. I love Alumacraft because they're made right here in Minnesota, and they're simply the best aluminum boat on the water. To learn more about Alumacraft and to find a dealer near you, go to alumacraft.com.
At most boat stores, what you see is what you get, which might sound good, but what you see may not be what you want. See, many big box boat stores get their boats pre-rigged with equipment you may not want and places you may not want it. You wouldn't let someone pick out your wife or your kids, and they're almost as important as your boat. So come to Dan's Southside Marine, and we'll customize your boat to you. Say you're a lefty. You might want your depth finder here instead of there. Or if you're freakishly tall, you might want things at a special angle. Maybe you're a Virgo and you want everything in alphabetical order. We let you choose, even if we think it's weird. Because no matter where you choose to put things, at Dan's you're choosing the best. Motors by Suzuki, Yamaha, and Honda. Brands like Alumacraft Boats and Premier Pontoons. If you want what you see, you know where to get it. But if you want what you want, come to Dan's Southside Marine.
You'll not find a bigger inventory of Premier Pontoons and Alumacraft Boats anywhere in the Twin Cities. Any boat you see online is available for sale at Dan's Southside Marine.
Proudly fly our colors this Memorial Day. A 20-foot in-ground flagpole kit from Mills Fleet Farm is $89.99. A Perception Conduit 9.5-foot kayak is red, white, and blue, just $349.99. The Zebco Folds of Honor Spincast or Spinning Combos are only $29.99. 32-pack landscaper flats on sale, just $9.99 at Mills Fleet Farm. And on Memorial Day, remember those who fought for our freedom.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Pause for effect, of course, right there. Welcome back to Ticket Outdoors. We rerun our shows every Sunday morning at 6 o'clock. And the podcast available in the next day or two. You can find it at 105theticket.com. Boomer will be calling in with an extended lake report. He's been having a heck of a dream week for Boomer. He's been like a kid off to Disney World at Devil's Lake. So.
Yeah, but I'm having as much fun right now because with Boomer not being here, I have a chance to speak.
Isn't that kind of nice?
Everybody wins.
and Nicole Jacobs is probably even more fun than Boomer.
Hey, but before we get to Nicole, I want to say something. We got a call from our friend Ken Drevnik, and Ken Drevnik's son, Dan Drevnik, was killed. I believe it was Iraq a couple of years back, and he wanted to be a policeman, some kind of a law enforcement officer when he got out of the military. So as a result of that, Dad and Mom started a fund called the Dan Drevnik Memorial Fund, and it's going on maybe 3 years right now. And he wanted me to remind our listeners that they have an event called Fishing for Our Heroes up at Gull Lake, Cragen's Resort, June 20th and June 21st. And I believe they have a lot of professional fishermen fish with veterans, right?
Yep,
and
yep.
Everything is free for the veterans, the housing, the fishing, and everything, if I recall. And it's going to be June 20th and June 21st. There's a few spots open. If anybody has any questions or concerns or thoughts about this at all, go to heroathome.org, I believe. And that's the Dan Drevnik Memorial Fund. If you go to that, you'll find it. And we thank Ken Drevnik and his wife for doing this because it's a big, big deal.
Yep,
Gull Lake, Cragen's Resort, June 20th and 21st, heroathome.org.
I hope they almost, they won't turn people away, but let's hope they have that problem where it's just that busy.
Yep.
Former guest on the show, and we'll try and mention that again before we get a little closer to the event.
Yep.
All right. Nicole Jacobs with her own playing card, FLW. You're a Walmart co-angler. Now, you talked about fishing with different anglers, going out with different professionals. How's that work? Do you get to choose? Do they sort of, are you on a rotating kind of thing?
You only get what you got to ask.
Yeah.
Ask. So I've really, excuse me, sorry.
You don't seem that outgoing just to walk up to somebody and ask.
No, I want to learn from the best, and I want to learn different strategies, different techniques from all different anglers. You know, one person will dissect the water different than the other. I fish with Clayton Batts. He is a very good fisherman. He's so dedicated. We get up, we're on the water from sun up to sundown, and we're taking all that time to figure the fish out in patterns.
That's how we prepare for this show, sun up to sundown.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, let's talk about, before we get into your personal experience with it, give our listeners some background on the FLW tournament.
Yeah, series. FLW Tour, or FLW is Fishing League Worldwide. They're out of Minnesota and out of Kentucky. They've been around for years, and I'm just so happy to be a part of the FLW family. I fish the tour. It's one of the highest, levels you can fish, but I fish as a co-angler. Co-angler is off the back of the boat. I consider myself a professional in training. Yes, we're still competing for $20,000 off the back of the boat, but at the end of the day, at that level, it's about the pros. They're competing for $100,000 and to fish for the Forestwood Cup. There's also what FLW has done so amazing is created platforms of different tournaments that people can get involved in. I first started out in the BFLs, the Bass Fishing Leagues, which are more entry-level leagues, and they have divisions all over the country. Like, I fish the Great Lakes BFL still because there also is a All-American that I can advance to, but I also just want to spread the word. If you really want to get involved, start as a co-angler. Start with the BFLs. But even now, there's high school and there's college.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know if you remember the Austin Felix and Chris Bergen from
course.
Last year.
Yeah.
The Gophers won the collegiate, FLW
That's right.
collegiate, and they got to go to the Forestwood Cup, which is like the Super Bowl of bass fishing. Fortunately, I don't know if I'm going to make it this year, but
well, slow down there, Tiger. You're just getting started, really, just in the last couple of years. How many events do you get out to?
You know, we have six qualifying tour events, and then we have the Forestwood Cup. This was the last year for co-anglers to fish the Cup. I actually agree with that platform, really. When you're competing in a championship, I think it's good that it's just for the pros. Bassmasters also has an elite format, you know, where it's just pros, but...
Yeah.
The thing about FLW, again, they have different, there's so much that FLW's pioneered with the high school level, with the college collegiate level. We didn't have bass fishing tournaments when I was in high school or college. I mean, honestly, I was like, I wish we would have had some competitiveness. You're going to see it growing now more, and other colleges are putting together teams, high school, and I'm really here to help pioneer that.
You mentioned, what you just mentioned reminded me of a guest we had on a couple of weeks ago, because we have my gorgeous wife, Diana, who's listening right now in Chautauqua. We have a place in Chautauqua, Wisconsin.
That was Nicole.
Yeah, that was Nicole. Hey, sweetheart, Mark, like a little kid in a candy store. He has a new app on his phone. He's got he's having all kinds of sound effects. He's having so much fun. Anyway, so in the Chautauqua newspaper, there was a big article about the Wisconsin State High School Ice Fishing Championships, and I called the young lady who was in charge of that, and I said, "We don't have that in Minnesota," and she's been trying to lobby people in Minnesota to have that, because we never don't have that, and they've had it for a number of years. They have ice fishing leagues, summer fishing leagues, all in Wisconsin. Why don't we do it here?
You know, it's probably coming. I mean, there is competitive ice fishing. There's clam guys. I mean, you think of Jason Mitchell. There are huge guys that are, you know, it's a whole nother sport. I don't ice fish because I don't have the patience, but because I fully engage in bass fishing. But you're going to see that push. And really, bass fishing is everything. That's like football in the South. I mean, honestly, bass fishing, everything. And, you know, they don't freeze over, so they're fishing all the time. And those fish are pressured as well, so it's a lot harder down there.
Oh, I bet.
I think, in my opinion.
Well, growing up, I remember ESPN, like once or twice a year, when you had one sports channel, would have a bass fishing tournament, and it was probably one of the World Series, and it was always in the Southeast. I mean, that's just where
always.
The bass fishing was.
You know, you're going to see, you know, we have tournaments. We're going to be at Potomac River. It's our last qualifying event here at the end of June. I'm just about to take off for a whole month. I'll be traveling to Tennessee first, and then I will be going straight from there to the Potomac. I'm going to fly my son out, too, so it'll be fun. We're going to do the D.C. thing.
Go ahead, Zeb. I saw you.
Y'all have, like, all these questions.
I mean, and what cool areas you get to see and all these different lakes. How are the lakes in the Southeast or out East different from Minnesota lakes?
You're going to deal with a lot of reservoirs, a lot of Tennessee River chains. I mean, Florida was a beast in its own. I mean, it's a swamp. I mean, that's all I can tell you what it's about. There's alligators. There's huge snakes. I mean, you're fishing a swamp, and they are smart. There's some smart, but beggins.
Not to mention a snag or two. Well, how do you fish it differently than you would, say, here in Minnesota Bass?
Every lake that I've fished on tour, I've never fished before, and you fish it differently based on if it's a swamp or, like, Beaver Lake is gin clear. I mean, it's crystal clear. And then it's just gathering these information from these other anglers and the knowledge that I know about bass, you know, like if they're pre-spawn, spawn, and you figure out a pattern, a bait selection. As a co-angler, you got to throw slow. You got to finesse. You got to catch what your pros are not.
Yeah.
You can't try to compete with the pro. You start throwing crankbaits and all these fast things and trying to compete and try to, you know, you're just going to You got to slow it down.
Just
and
like,
that's what I've really learned, and I'm a very power fisherman, so what I've learned,
I
really took the co-angler's perspective, meaning drop shot, shaky head, and wacky rig are your best friend.
I think she just got nicknames for all three of us. Drop shot.
Three Stooges.
I'll be wacky head.
Yeah. All right, yeah.
Y'all have no idea what I'm talking about, do you?
No, not at all.
Mark, go ahead, buddy.
So, I just have more questions about, so there is there an etiquette that you had to learn as a co-angler? Like, so obviously you go into a spot and there's going to be fish there. Do you have to kind of wait for the pro to throw the perfect spots where you think that, or do you just go along, or how does that etiquette, how does that relationship work?
Hang on a second. To our new listeners, don't be confused about the voice there. Mark is a man.
Hey.
Be nice.
Go ahead.
Thought they were listening to K-Fan for a minute.
Oh, boy.
Go ahead. Answer the question.
There's that etiquette. I mean, especially at the tour level, there's expectation. This is about the pros. They're competing for $100,000. There are some people in co-angles that are aggressive on tour that, yes, they're all for themselves. Yes, I'm competing. Mm-hmm. I want to do well. Mm-hmm. But the more you respect the pro, mm-hmm. I truly believe the better you'll have angles and everything. There's truly a science to bass fishing competitively. There really, really is. So, you don't want to cast in front of the boat. There's like, half the boat's yours. And I've learned, though, angles and everything by throwing off the back of the boat. There's some opportunity, like at Beaver mm-hmm. Lake, we're fishing bluffs and we're fishing parallel to the bank. I was throwing my drop shot. Do you guys know what a drop shot is?
I do.
I was throwing this bait way off the back of the boat because I knew the fish are parallel.
Hail Mary.
And I'm dragging it very slow. I'm not kidding. I caught a little bass every cast. I'm not kidding. But I knew they're parallel. I'm going to fish what I can. You don't mm-hmm. really worry about the pro. And the best advice I have as a co-angler, and I don't know everything. Again, I'm still new to this, but don't worry about the pro. Keep your eye on him, see what he's doing, learn from him,
mm-hmm.
but fish the conditions that you have, and you can't really, complain about it.
Do you have any input on where you guys go?
Nope. You're at the mercy of the boater. Mm-hmm. That is actually a competitive edge. If you think about it, co-angling is really an mm-hmm. art in itself, and it's really hard.
I think it's probably a good idea to complain about it often. Not again.
I have to pee.
But there's guys like this last tournament. We're fishing brush piles, very deep water.
Hold on.
The co-angler's pretty much kind of screwed.
Right. That's what I want to talk about. Good days, bad days out there with the pros as a co-angler.
It depends, like the co-angler's dream is...
I'm just going to hit the commercial break.
Okay.
St. Paul Saints Baseball in downtown St. Paul. Come join Radioactive Sports at the biggest party in Lower Town.
We'll be broadcasting live from the front gate of CHS Field. The home opener is Thursday night, and we'll be there from 4 to 7 grabbing guests from the Saints and more.
And we'll have tickets to give away, too. Saints Baseball in a brand spanking new ballpark, and we're broadcasting live before the game.
Only on Minnesota Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Hey, you know what time it is? It's springtime, and it's time to get to Mills Fleet Farm so you can give your yard a cut and a trim. Give the garden a makeover and turn the earth upside down. Plant, fertilize, weed, and feed. Build a wall, a fence, or how about a patio? Then, time to grill and chill. Yep, it's springtime, and it's time to get to Mills Fleet Farm for all your lawn, garden, and outdoor living supplies.
Smokes! That's the fourth straight kill shot.
I've been getting in some practice.
Is that a new rifle, too?
Yep. Traded for it. Make that five.
Lakes Trading Company. Buy, sell, trade, and receive expert firearms training. Permit to carry classes are also available at the indoor range. LakesTradingCo.com.
Boomer here from the Ticket Outdoors. Well, we made it through another long, cold winter in Minnesota, and guess what that means? It's time to hit the open water, baby, and I'm pumped to get back into the Alumacraft T-Pro 195 and get her wet. And I want to remind our listeners, now is a great time to check out the new lineup of Alumacraft boats. I love Alumacraft because they're made right here in Minnesota, and they're simply the best aluminum boat on the water. To learn more about Alumacraft and to find a dealer near you, go to alumacraft.com.
Happy Wednesday. This is your 105 The Ticket weather from Nature's Fury. Clearing clouds overnight, going to be a low of 45. Tomorrow, the start of a couple sunny days in a row, going to be 72 for a high for the Saints home opener. 74 and sunny on Friday. Your Memorial Day weekend, highs around 70 all weekend long. Small chance of rain on Saturday, bigger chance on Sunday, and on Monday, it's about a 50-50 chance. This weather update is brought to you by Nature's Fury. You can find Nature's Fury at your local Cub Foods and select holiday stores.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
All right, we're back. The show never stops, not even for the commercial breaks, but thank you to our sponsors, Dan Southside Marine, Fleet Farm, Alumacraft, Lakes Trading Company, and Custom Truck Accessories. Wednesdays, that's right, they've got their big show going up there on Wednesdays. Their swap meet, the big truck show up there every Wednesday, straight up Highway 65, you can't miss them.
Hey, we just got a text from my brother. Should I read the text on the air? My brother Rob's listening tonight. Hey, I'm pulling for you, brother Rob, because brother Rob had, I think you said, what do you call it?
Rotator cuff.
I think it was rotator cuff surgery just last week. Something bad in his shoulder. He's a great tennis player. He's crippled up a little bit. So pulling for you, brother Rob. Hang in there, my friend. Back to Nicole Jacobs. As we were leaving the break into to the commercial, one of the questions came up, and I said, did you ever... You know, you get chosen randomly, right?
Yep.
You can't pick who your pro is.
No, you're at the mercy of the boater.
All right,
in a professional tournament, a co-angler gets drawn with a pro. There's 150 of us. We get paired with any of the pros, and then you go fish.
Some of these guys, like I said, the old school, and maybe having you or someone like yourself in the tournament is not in their best interest, they think. Have you ever walked up to the boat when you were chosen to be with that particular fisherman and the guy kind of gave the look like, oh my God, not today?
No, actually, I've been very well actually respected to my face. So every pro that I've drawn on tour has been so kind and so willing to help me and coach me, actually. It's been very, very awesome. In a BFL, though, I've drawn somebody who started, I was catching fish behind him, and I gave him my lure because I felt bad. And, and that was a mistake, because then every time he'd reach a bank, he'd literally let the butt end of the boat go over the point, and I couldn't fish it. So I took it as a compliment, you know.
Yeah.
So again, I'm not trying to compete with the pro. But on tour, I haven't had to deal with any of that, but to my face again. So
how does that work with FLW and the co-angler? What's their motivation to do that, or why is that a part of the tour?
It's just always been a part of the game. Some of the best professionals started as co-anglers.
Yeah, how do
honestly,
you get, how
yeah.
do you get
you
to the front
learn,
of the boat?
You gotta crawl before you can walk.
Right.
You know, a lot of them. You get to the front of the boat, you can go front right away. If I wanted to go front of the boat, I could.
Okay,
I'm not going to fish at that level and learn.
Right.
I need to learn the skills. I need to learn the techniques. I need to understand the water. I need to understand all that.
So you don't have to go in front of the Wizard of Oz, and the Wizard of Oz tells you, yes, you are
the
professional.
Well, it might help me right now. But
no, I'm serious. Does someone have a right to tell you, yes, you are now a pro, or do you just...
That's a tricky, you know, question. I mean, honestly,
I know, but you daydream about it yourself.
Of course, I want to be a pro. I want to be a pioneer for women and other people in sport. Honestly, I do. I do want to be a pro, but it's going to take time. It's not going to happen overnight. I see at least 3 more years or 2 more years as a co before I'd ever consider.
I'm going to ask you a serious question, and I very seldom ask serious questions.
It sounds like
okay,
a setup to me.
You are working your little backside off doing this, trying to get to the next level, and I'm going to tell you this. I'm proud of you because I'm sure because of your personality, you're very aggressive. Some people think you're a pain in the ass. This is my
yeah,
guess.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes, they
but,
do.
But, if you don't have the drive like you have, you may as well just go sit and watch Ellen DeGeneres every day, right? So I'm proud of you and keep on fighting for it. But there's more to this than more to life than just fishing and trying to make the pro tour. You've got an 8-year-old son.
Exactly.
All right? You've been gone for a couple of months. What happens?
So that's another thing, why I'm fishing as a co-angler. The schedule allows for me. I'm very lucky that I have a rotating schedule with my son's dad. So when I'm gone for a week, I get him for a week, and then vice versa. So
very lucky.
And Cole travels with me. I've figured it out. I said he has to be engaged. He has to, you know, it's not pretty all the time. I'm not going to sit here and lie. I can't stay in the South like all these guys and fish. Those are obstacles that I'm facing. That's really hard on me to be gone for weeks on end.
Yeah, it's got to be.
But I know it's a sacrifice for the long run, and he came to the first tournament. We did the whole Orlando thing and made it educational and fun. He's coming to the last tournament.
What else is in Orlando?
We're going to D.C. Well, I'm excited to go to have him at D.C. because we're going to do the whole, like, tour of White House and educate him about it. So he's really engaged when he can be, and I'm in full communication. But when I get home, that first day when I'm home, don't think that he doesn't have a little anger and resentment towards me because I was gone. That separation anxiety. So that's a whole other thing I'm dealing with. But we've adjusted, you know, and he understands what's going on. He understands and sees what I'm doing. He was so excited to take my trading cards to school, and he gave every one of his friends.
Yeah,
that is cool. I mean, I'm very active when I'm home. I'm present. I'm at his school at least twice a week when I'm home. Because he needs that. He needs that reassurance, you know? So, yes, I think that's a great question that you had. People don't realize that I'm a single mom, but you can do it. You can live a life you love. There's always a will and a way if you have that drive and that determination. I just have that. I know this is my calling and what I'm supposed to be doing with my life.
And if this calling does not work for you, you will be a professional drummer.
It won't not work. I will never give up. I'm
good for
seriously
you.
Will make it work. There's always a will, and I truly feel God has blessed me and wants me to do this.
Zeph wants to know some of the dirt, some of the good stuff, some of the bad stuff that has happened
on
this
show. Good days and the bad days out there.
How do you pee
there?
In the boat? That's what
I knew this was coming. You guys, don't make it complicated. I honestly get a big gulp at the gas station in the morning. I'm not even kidding. It's the easiest way.
Yeah.
I try to dehydrate myself, but thank you for Badger Max to keeping me hydrated throughout the day. It's awesome. I go to the gas station, I buy a big gulp. That's what I do.
You need a funnel too? I mean,
no, I sit in the middle of the boat. I put my raincoat over me if I need to go. Most of the time I hold it, but honestly, if I have to, I just.
I assume that's why they made them that big.
It's not that difficult.
Do the guys in the boat just whip it out and pee off the side?
Yes, but I turn my other side. I said, you turn around, you'll be swimming home. You know,
make sure on that back cast.
But women are terrified of this question. I get this question a lot on Facebook, and I said, it's not a big deal.
She squats so much, she's got thighs like Herschel. Walker. And all you young kids don't know who the hell Herschel Walker is.
Big gulp. That's all I got to say. It's free. Don't
talk about what are some of the frustrations? First of all, what I would like to know is how involved is the co-angler on scouting what it is you're going to do? You don't do the drawing until the tournament, right?
Nope. That is a rule. They have to find the fish on their own. And practice days, we can't have an input or anything.
But
we
do you scout it yourself, or does some of the co-anglers go out?
I research. I do a lot of research, on, even on FLW, what anglers, what co's, what kind of baits were on last year or last time we're on there. You talk to the locals before there's an off-limits period. There's an off-limits period 30 days prior, so you can't ask people baits and stuff. But, for example, Big Bite Baits, one of my sponsors, is in Lake, is down there. So I research with them what was happening, what kind of stuff was going on before the off-limits, and it's exciting. I mean, there's a lot you can do as a co. But at the end of the day, you're at the mercy of the boat. You can do all this research, and then you're doing something totally different. But, again, I think educating yourself. For example, I drew Larry Nixon in my second day of the tournament. He is the best bass worm fisherman in the country, hands down. He has figured out the science of fishing a worm, why there's a certain way to fish a ribbon tail and the lily pads. And I was lucky and asked him so many questions. And that's more valuable to me than anything.
Larry, yeah. Larry.
I mean, we had a grind. The storm came through the second day. It was a grind. I mean, we almost only caught two keepers. He almost didn't even catch a limit, but I'm so glad he did. But it's just fishing. That's fishing for you. They shut down. He hammered them the first day, so I was really excited because his co-angler was in second place. So
let's talk about the highlight. You fished six tournaments so far?
Six tournaments.
All right, tell us your highlight.
No. I haven't fished six. There's six total. Okay. I fished, four now?
All right, tell us the highlight of the first four tournaments of your career.
I mean, just taking it all in.
No. I want a story. I want to know your biggest fish or your pros. Best day,
it's
I don't care
not even
is.
My best. Honestly, this last tournament, I have to say, came off the water. I was very frustrated going into this because I'm very competitive. I'm very hard on myself. I want to succeed in fishing. I'm trying to do it. You know, I have that drive, but again, it takes time. This is the hardest sport I've ever done, and that's why I love it. It's challenging, and it challenges me every day. But I came home after being frustrated on the water, and there was... Or we were staying at a little dive house, you know, some of us during practice days. and these three girls came over. I saw the Walmart truck, and there's three sisters, and they're playing basketball, and they're looking. I got out, said hello, and they came over. They wanted to know what I was doing, who I am, and they wanted to learn about fishing. They've never fished right. before, so I talked them through what I was doing, learned about them, played basketball with them, and at that moment, all my anger, all my frustration disappeared because I was like, this is why I'm here. This is what it's truly about. And right. I feel God put them there for a reason. I took them fishing. Their dad was disabled in an accident and couldn't go fishing. And I literally took the whole family fishing. They've never been. They caught their first fish of their lives. They were so excited. I got it. It's all on GoPro, so I'm really excited to do a document about it. But that's really why I'm here. And really, I knew that. And of course, I'm here to compete. I will.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
I'm coming. My time's coming. I'm telling you. But that changed my perspective moving forward on the tour. It's not just about learning skills. And I know that I'll be a pro and I'll get there because I have that determination. But at the end of the day, it's about other people.
It's all about helping others.
It really, really is.
We had
and
a
that's
guest
what
on,
I truly believe.
We had a guest on last week and talked about the exact same thing, helping others. We'll talk more about that. Zepper, you're on, pal.
Well, I was just going to say we're wrapping up with Nicole Jacobs. We're going to be, you know, we're going to follow you. You're always a friend here at Ticket Outdoors.
Oh, I love you guys.
Absolutely.
I miss you.
And so thanks for coming back in and checking us in, checking in with us and keeping us
Thank
up to speed.
Thank you for having me.
We'll expect you, even when you're moved to the front of the boat,
yes.
to continue to do that.
I have a lot of advice, too. Please feel free, females, men, anyone, if you want to get involved in fishing, you can. Just make a plan and do work the plan. There's a yeah. lot of business that goes into it. But just keep at it. You can live a life you love.
Can they get a hold of you on social media?
Yeah, go ahead. Send me a message on Facebook. If I give you my number, it's not for you to call at me at any time you want. It's for professional.
I thought that was just for me.
A little bit of that lately. Yeah, it's professional use only.
Walmart Coanger FLW Series, Nicole Jacobs. Good luck with the rest of the tour.
Thank you so much.
Rest of the season. At the end of the tour, make sure you come back in and let us know how everything went.
I'll also be at doing a... visit to Fleet Farm next week for Slot Frog. We're going to talk about the new baits coming out.
So, well, yeah, which Fleet Farm?
In Lakeville. So come see me.
Fleet Farm down in Lakeville. We love
yep,
Fleet Farm.
The 28th.
One of our sponsors. All right, thank you, Nicole Jacobs.
Thank
mystery
you.
Guest, and I don't know who Strew's mystery guest is.
Well, you better get ready, pal.
We're going to find out in a couple.
Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
You save big money. You save big money.
With an 11% rebate for everyone on everything, we can all bring home the American dream. Menards gives you the freedom to save on anything you choose, including sale prices. Whether you're stocking up, cleaning out, fixing up, or building new, Menards has what your home needs. And you can save 11% on every single item. Right now, find great sale prices on mowers and trimmers, landscape block, live plants, outdoor living, paints and stains, and much more. Plus, get an additional 11% rebate on everything, including sale prices. That's savings on top of savings. There's never been to save big on all of your home improvement projects. Hurry in, because Menards has an 11% rebate on everything.
Save big money at Menards.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-735-7485 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-735-7485 to take your call now. Call 877-735-7485. That's 877-735-7485. Again, 877-735-7485.
The
From the Mills Fleet Farm Studios, WTDX Lakeville, WRXP Cambridge, WGBZ Eden Prairie, a Cumulus station.
Everyone loves cars. Everyone loves cash. So Wirtsfield Bloomington Mitsubishi is giving you a shot at winning both. We grab the keys to a 2015 Mitsubishi Mirage from Richfield Bloomington Mitsubishi off 494 in Lindale and loaded up the back seat full of cash. If you can guess the exact amount of cash we stashed in the car to the penny, you win the new Mitsubishi and $20,000. Listen and find out just where you can see the Richfield Bloomington Mitsubishi car you want, the way you want it, and the cash across the Twin Cities from now until May 24th. To enter, just go to 105theticket.com or rbmitsu.com. Then electronically enter your guess. Only one entry per person allowed. No purchase necessary. Oh, and if nobody guesses the exact amount of cash we stashed, we're still giving away the new stylish Mitsubishi Mirage at 44 miles per gallon highway to one lucky driver no matter what. It's a car load of cash. Contest rules at rbmitsu.com. But you can't win if you don't enter. So enter today and win with Richfield Bloomington Mitsubishi.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
All right, things are working now. Thanks for tuning in to Ticket Outdoors. Rerun Sunday morning at 6 o'clock. The podcast available sometime in the next day or two on 105theticket.com. All right, boys and girls. This is part of the show where we bring on Stru's mystery guest. I'll confess, I usually know who the mystery guest is, but tonight...
Is he online? Is he ready? All right. The new mystery guest. Well, I'll tell you what. This is a gentleman... Oh,
that's a drum roll.
That's supposed to be a drum roll.
I thought it was a rattle. Oh, we got a rattlesnake in here.
I've got a young man that I found on the, we got a hold of him today, and I think one thing you'll be excited about, Brian and Mark, is that this guy is doing a dream trip starting next Wednesday. He is going to New Zealand.
Ooh.
And we have had someone on in the past who has been in, to New Zealand to hunt the, what's
Red
it called?
Stag.
Red Stag?
The Red Stag, yeah.
And I'll tell you what, you might recognize this guy's voice. Welcome to the Ticket Outdoors. Are you there, young man?
Oh, Stru, they're going to be disappointed once they figure out it's me.
Billy Moles is back in town. Billy Moles is back in town. How you doing, my friend?
Pretty good. Did they bump you guys up to 2 hours?
Yeah, we're big shots now. Absolutely.
Oh, I'm going to get into broadcast. It's a challenge.
Yeah. And the two-hour workday. Billy, good to talk to you again, man.
I tell you what, hey, Bill. They're not paying me anymore, but it's costing me twice as much beer, so I'm ready. It doesn't work that
they're
well.
Already out.
Yeah, I know.
very good. Well, thanks for having me, guys.
You bet. You haven't been home very long, have you?
No, I got home, I guess a week ago now. So, yeah, I just got back from a spring hunt on Kodiak. So, going to lather up the boots and repack and wash the clothes and head for New Zealand here a week from today.
Jeepers creepers! You sound like Boomer with a gun. That's about all there is to it. Yeah. So how was your trip this time in Alaska? Now this was one of the short ones, right?
Yeah. Well, they're 15-day hunts. I just had one hunt in the spring. Every other spring, on the odd-yeared springs, I just go up for one hunt on Kodiak Island, and then the other springs I'll go for three hunts. As it were, I just went up for one 15-day hunt, and we hunted a full 15 days and went home without a bear. It's the first time that's happened in 12 years.
Really?
But, it was. We had choices or our chances. We had opportunities. The third day we got in on a real good bear. I'm pretty conservative when it comes to that first shot, because after hunting brown bears for 17 years, I know that once those things hit with a bullet, or once they're struck with a bullet, they unleash a ball of fury like you've never seen before. So I always try to get a good first shot, because it's so important, because you'll never get a good shot after that. And we were in a little bit of brush. We got in on a big bear at 70 yards, and I did a predator squeal to him to make him stop. He was walking through some brush, and the first time I've ever had that happen, he didn't stop. I'm sure he heard me, but he just kept walking. He had somewhere he wanted to be, and it was the bear rut during the spring, so he maybe had some ladies on his mind or something and wasn't interested in eating. So he kept going, and we dogged the bear when we never got a shot at him, and we had a couple other opportunities, and as is the case many times, a woman screwed up our one deal on another big bear. We stalked three miles across this valley. We were after a real big bear, and And we closed within 700 yards, and this bear was kind of working through this brush patch, and all of a sudden a sow squirted out of the brush, and he saw her, heard her, smelled her, or a combination of the three, and took off after her and went up over the mountain, and that was the end of that.
So your client never fired a shot then, right?
No, he never fired a shot. And I give him credit. You know, we probably saw about 50 bears, different bears, in 15 days' time. But, you know, you go to Kodiak Island to try to get a big bear, and, you know, we just didn't have an opportunity, a big one. So he said he'll just save his nickels and come back another time until he gets one.
So he's a pretty good sport about it.
It was a very good sport about it, and you know, we both kind of second guessed our decision. You know, if we'd have went in there guns a blazing, we'd have probably had a bear. But you know, as hunters, we all want to be responsible, take ethical shots, and you know, that's just the nature of it. If it was automatic, it wouldn't be worth doing, I guess.
BillyMolesAdventures.com, the website, as I recall. Billy Zapier, very much enjoyed season 6 and the one you did with your dad. Was it Hunt Unknown?
Yeah, Hunt for the Unknown.
Hunt
for the
Unknown.
Yeah, it was a caribou hunt with my dad and an old friend of ours.
So, and Billy's got, so I mentioned the season 6. It's a couple of DVDs that covers the hunts that he does up in Alaska. What do you do? I mean, does that end up becoming part of the season 7 DVD series, the skunk hunt?
You know, I don't know. I didn't get a whole lot of footage, especially when the hunting is tough. I try not to let me rolling the camera affect the hunt at all. You know, so I got a guide first and film second, so I didn't get a ton of footage. Those are pretty labor intensive hunts for a guide. So, but yeah, on a lot of my videos, I'll show the hunts that go unsuccessful, because I believe that that's what makes up our sport. You know, if the animals couldn't get away, there wouldn't be any sport to it. So that's certainly a big part of it.
Hey, Billy, you've been doing this for about 17, 18 years in Alaska, and you're successful probably 95% of the time. But it has to be emotional, I think, sometimes when you build a relationship with somebody and they spend all that money, and I don't know what their financial backgrounds are, and they go away with
rich.
Nothing. Yeah, they're well, yeah. And they go away with nothing. Does that, obviously it bothers you, but tell me how you feel when it happens, and where does it go from there? You know, it's got to be tough. Do they come back, you know?
Yeah, you know, most guys do, you know, he wants to rebook for 2018 or 19. We're trying to cipher that out. You know, it's tough. It's you kind of feel like you failed, but at the end of the day, nobody can take themselves too seriously to think that you're going to be perfect and you're going to do everything right every time. But yeah, you know, on a professional level, and perhaps the male ego doesn't want you to, admit you were wrong or that you failed. But, fact of the matter is, you know, I've been humbled many, many times before, and I think that's part of the appeal to it, is that it's not automatic, and you know you're going to learn something every time you go out there. And I know that's what draws me to it, but certainly when a guy is forking over 20 grand to go hunt a brown bear in Alaska, you know, you want to get him a bear, and you kind of expect to, but yeah, for better or worse, that's just nature of the beast, I
guess. Even the best screw up occasionally, and I'm going to share something in every venue, and I'm going to share something with you that happened last week. We had a guest on last week, and I know you don't have a chance to listen to the show very much at all, but we had a guest on last week named Mike Gates. And Mike Gates, at the age of 26, was rabbit hunting with a friend of his, and his friend tripped. His shotgun went off and shot Mike Gates in the face and blinded him completely on the spot. And for a couple of years, Mike Gates just was, you know, blaming it on God, why me, why me, why me. And eventually he said, I want to do this again. He went deer hunting, and who took him deer hunting was this friend who shot him in the face. And he took him out to his regular spot. So obviously he saw him until he was 25, 26 years old. And so they sat him down in the same spot we like to hunt. And his buddy told him when a deer came by, here comes one, whatever. And he's 40 yards, 30 yards, 20 yards. Now is the time to pick up this rifle. Aim left, aim right, aim high, aim low, and the first shot he did, completely blind, he got a deer. And so as a result of that, he said, if I can do it, other people can do it. So he started a camp in Kentucky where he teaches the handicapped and the emotionally disabled and the blind to hunt, and he still hunts regularly. So anyway, this happened last week. I said, sometimes even the best professionals screw up. This happened last week. And remember now, Brian Zepp is talking to a blind hunter.
Mike Gates, our guest, ChristOutreach.com. We're calling you in Kentucky this evening?
Yes.
Okay. I'm a little curious now. So you started slinging arrows all over the neighborhood. How does that get? How do you get to Christ Outreach with this camp? And first of all, until it take us out on your first hunting trip, how you got from how you have to be assisted. Am I ignorant in saying that?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, how is that? This guy, how is that for an intelligent question from a guy who's been on radio for 30 years?
Well, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't go hunting with him unless he was assisted. You know, and you talk about it's not a screw-up if you don't go out not get something. It's a hunt. You know, my dad, it took him 5 years to get that big bull elk out in Montana, and I will guarantee you it was all the more sweeter because it took 5 seasons to get that big bull.
Absolutely. That right there, it's when you walk into somebody's trophy room or he's showing you a photo album, the ones that he shot first day or were standing on the trail when he walked out of the truck, those aren't the ones that he turns to first. It was the ones that, you know, took the most effort. He had to sacrifice the most and stick with it and persevere. Those are the ones. Those are the sweet ones. You know, nothing in life that's worth having comes easy. And that's, in my mind, that's what big game hunting is all about.
You're absolutely right. Billy Moles, our guest, our mystery guest from Sioux, not such a mystery. He's a buddy of the show. And you've got yourself a Dream Bay hunt coming up. We want to talk about that when we come back with Billy Moles. BillyMolesAdventures.com on Ticket Outdoors.
One and done. A special off-season two-hour show. Saturday morning at 9.
Who is Minnesota's best dunker, past or present?
It's hands down Rodney Williams.
Another name I was brought from the past. He was basically a dunk that Darius Lane did on Joe Frisbilla in 1998. I believe that dang near got him co-Mr. Basketball with Joe.
Darius Lane was a Hopkins guy?
No, he was at Tino Grace.
One and done. A special off-season two-hour show. Catch up on your hoops talk. Saturday morning at 9. 105. Find the ticket.
Proudly fly our colors this Memorial Day. A 20-foot in-ground flagpole kit from Mills Fleet Farm is $89.99. A Perception Conduit 9.5-foot kayak is red, white, and blue. Just $349.99. The Zebco Folds of Honor Spin Cast or Spinning Combos are only $29.99. 32-pack landscaper flats on sale. Just $9.99 at Mills Fleet Farm. And on Memorial Day, remember those who fought for our freedom.
If you love the outdoors, then you probably have a truck that you love too. Custom Truck Accessories can help protect your truck from the rigors of outdoor activities. They have custom seat covers and floor mats to protect against the mud and dirt from the field. Toppers and tonneau covers to protect your gear. If you're a truck guy, you'll appreciate the knowledge and experience of the Custom Truck Accessories crew. Visit CustomTruckAccess.com or stop by their store to see what a difference being family-owned can make for you.
We at Dan's Southside Marine would like to redefine the term man's best friend to mean his boat. Now, before you get all tweaky, let's talk this through. Although your dog is fun, dependable, and great to take fishing, so is an Alumacraft Navigator 165CS. And while your dog may retrieve ducks with lightning speed, he'd have to be just a tick faster to pull you up for a slalom run like the Stingray 200 Bow Rider. And sure, your furry friend obeys your every command with heartbreaking enthusiasm, but think of the enthusiasm you'll feel watching the receptionist from the gym sunbathe on your premier pontoon Escapade 235. And finally, your boat will never drink too much lake water and throw up in your boat. To learn more about the best boats and motors in the Twin Cities, or to complain about the dog thing, visit Dan's Southside Marine.
You'll not find a bigger inventory of premier pontoons and Alumacraft boats anywhere in the Twin Cities. Don't wait. Now's the time to buy. Any boat you see online is available for sale at Dan's Southside Marine.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
All right, welcome back. Struz being the gentleman and walking Nicole Jacobs to the door. Our guest, Billy Moles, BillyMolesAdventures.com. Modern Day Mountain Man is his DVD series. I believe there's 6 seasons out because I think I got the last one. I know I've got the last few. And 6 DVD package, you can go to the website. And I've bragged about these DVDs, not just to kiss Billy's ass while he's here. Even tell my buddies when we're off the air that the thing I like about them, thanks, Drew. The thing I like about them is it's not a half hour or 1 hour show where you get just some of the highlights and boom and the kill and all of that's involved in there, but you're really following Billy along for the adventure. You know, you the camping part. It's just, it's really just sort of relaxing and beautiful. And you're out there in the Alaskan wilderness with him. And then all of a sudden you're out on the hunt. And then you're at the edge of your seat. And then pretty soon you got a Kodiak or a big caribou or a doll sheep that they've been tracking uphill or up the side of a mountain for about 5 miles, it seems. And then it comes to that climax as well. And a couple of DVDs follow along with his spring and fall hunts up in Alaska. It usually runs about 4 hours worth of programming, so you pop it in over a couple of nights and just let it play, and it's good stuff.
You don't realize how difficult the job that Billy Moles does, and all the other guys that are out there, obviously. Until you see them track one of these doll sheep, it is freaking nuts.
He shows you the hard work.
He does
show you the hard work, because you when he'll spot a doll up there and then pans back, and you're like, you're gonna walk up there? Right. A lot. When you get up there, have me helicopter lifted up there sometime close. Billy, thanks for being a guest with us again on Ticket Outdoors. But you're not going to Alaska, and you're not necessarily going to be guiding. You're headed, as Drew was telling us, down to the other side of the equator, New Zealand.
Yeah, we're going to be hunting on the South Island. So I'll be there for about a month total, do a little bit of hunting. I've got some past clients from Alaska that are going to be coming with me as well. So I'll tag along with them, do a little filming, and at the end of it, I'll try to put a video of some sort together. Just try to experience New Zealand. We'll be hunting some tar, some chamois, and hopefully some red stag. So we'll just kind of see how it plays out. But yeah, I've always wanted to go and experience New Zealand, and I figure that's a good way to do it. Spend enough time there where hopefully I'll have something to show for it when I get home.
So. Hey Billy, this left-handed Pollock now knows what a red stag is, but yeah. I have no idea what a tar or a chamois is.
So you wash your car with the chamois?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, they're sham. Chamois. Is that what it is?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you wash the tar off.
Bring them out. You're ready.
Yeah. It's spelled the same, and I don't know. I think they originated maybe in Western Europe, I believe. So none of these animals, I don't think there's really any big game animals that are indigenous to New Zealand, but these tar, they're about like our mountain goat, a little bit smaller. They kind of have horns. They're a little bit more massive, but similar in shape. A chamois is quite a bit smaller. As far as I know, they're about 80 to 100 pounds. 100 pounds is probably a giant. And their horns are probably about 12, 13, 14 inches long. They kind of come straight up, and then they hook down. So they both live in the mountains, and the stags do as well. The tar and the chamois are up high in the alpine, rocky, craggy stuff. So yeah, it's gonna be a learning experience for me as well. So hopefully 5-6 weeks from now, I'll know a heck of a lot more about it. But there's no predators in New Zealand, so there's lots of game animals, and as far as I know, we don't even have to buy a license to go hunting over there. You just go and start shooting.
I love it.
Hey Billy, how did you end up getting an opportunity to go to New Zealand?
Well, actually, I was just at some sports shows and ran into a couple. I'm actually hunting in two different areas with two different outfitters. They've seen my videos before, and they just asked if I'd ever be interested just to come hunting and more or less in exchange for some promotion. So it was an opportunity for me that I guess I felt that I couldn't pass up.
Yeah.
And I knew I had some clients that I had guided in Alaska that I knew would be interested in it. And so, yeah, we're kind of just going over there to have a good time and just see what it's all about.
But do you know about New Zealand? Have you done a lot of research, or are you just kind of going to go there and wing it?
Yeah, kind of going to wing it. I guess I'm just going to trust the guys that I'm going with, and they call it the land of milk and honey. I know there's some fantastic fishing there. I don't know that we're going to get any time for that, but I know the hunting is kind of similar to our dull sheep hunting. The mountains are quite similar, and it's just full-on mountain hunting. Go real ultra-light backpack-type hunting, and we'll be doing a lot on foot. The one area that I'm going to, we're going to be using helicopters, so that's going to be kind of nice.
And Alaska,
we can't use helicopters at all. So we'll be flying into this country with helicopters, so those hunts maybe will be a little bit easier, but the one area that I'm going to, it's a walk-in deal. I think we're walking in something like 15 or 20 miles just to start hunting. So I've been running a little bit and doing a little working out to get ready for that one.
You must have one hell of a marriage because you're gone for about a month. You come home and say, "Hi, see you later, honey. I'll be gone another month and go to New Zealand."
That's why it works,
I guess.
Yeah, I think the trick is you want to be you want to make it so that your wife hates to see you leave, but at the same time you want her to be happy when you get home. So,
well, it's a fine line, isn't it?
Yeah, and so it seems to work for us. I guess she's usually tired of me by the time fall season rolls around, and I'll be gone for 3 months. And yeah, I guess the leaves need to be raked and the lawn needs to be mowed by somebody. So that's usually the time I come home.
Well, and then this is, I mean, kind of a unique experience. You get to do some hunting, and the pressure is not on you. You're not the guide. I mean, you got to get to hang back. It's going to be more relaxed, right?
Yeah, I think so. It'll just be, just kind of take it all in. It will be kind of nice not to have anybody that I've got to take care of, so I can worry about myself just a little bit more. But I think also it'll give me a little bit more of an opportunity that I can focus on the production, which I really enjoy, which when this all started, I wanted to go to Alaska to hunt all these animals for myself. Guiding was just a means that I thought I could achieve that. But what I found is I find it a lot more enjoyable just to capture this sport that we're able to do, because I kind of look at it as a piece of history. You know, 20 years from now, I don't know that hunters, the next generation, is going to have all the same rights and the ability to do all the same things, that the game populations are going to be what they are today. So to be able to capture that, I'm really intrigued and passionate about that.
Hey, Billy, I don't know if you've been following anything about the Minnesota moose situation here. We've had Michelle Carstensen on a number of times, and you know moose are down about 40% from 2006, and Governor Dayton shut down the program, said that too many calves are being killed as a result of human interaction. What's happening with the moose population in Wisconsin?
In Wisconsin?
Yep.
I have no idea. There's not too many moose in Wisconsin. So I couldn't tell you. We've got one once in a while, but I really don't know. Is that they really even study it in Wisconsin?
I wonder why. Now, there has to be a moose population in Wisconsin, the same kind of woods, isn't it?
Well, we don't have it's very similar, but our north country doesn't have quite the lakes and quite the habitat as yours does. I would say we have less than 10% of the moose that Minnesota has.
Yeah, and let's be honest, Wisconsin just doesn't care. So if the moose are gone, they had their time.
Yeah, we only have something like 14,000 lakes, but you guys can claim all the accolades for 10,000 if you like.
Oh, here we go. Now we're starting a border battle here.
No, I've never heard any statistic about moose in Wisconsin, and I think that just goes to show you how important a huntable population is, license fees and that sort of thing. That's what generates so much of the revenue and allows these state departments to do study and research, and quite frankly, just kill success and hunter data is such a resource for these government agencies just to learn more about each species that we have. And Wisconsin doesn't have a moose season, and that's probably largely why there's really no data about it.
Hey, Billy, you mentioned that, you know, you're a very, very busy young man, obviously. You do the spring hunt, you go home and be dad, and you do the fall hunt and go home and be dad, then come winter, and you're doing books and tours and all kinds of things. Eventually, you're going to have to slow down so you have more time to do things with your family and kids and do those special hunting trips. What is on your bucket list?
Well, next summer we're planning on doing a little camping tour, take a couple of weeks, go out and see Yellowstone and, you know, just see some animals and experience some nature. I take my little girls, I take them out hunting and we shoot bows and we're starting to shoot some rifles now and then, but deer hunting is always on the list. Matter of fact, my wife and I, we just had a lengthy debate and I ended up winning. My dad, of course, he's a farmer, and he had to butcher a steer. So the butcher came out into the field, he shot the steer, and then he butchers the steer right out in the field. That just,
rather than sending the steer through the slaughterhouse and all that stuff.
It's
just a lot more clean. The animals relaxed. And so I brought my kids out and we watched that. And, you know, they were fascinated by it. And they came home and they were telling my wife all about it. I didn't do it as a big party or anything, but it's just a fact of life. And I want my children to grow up being exposed and knowing where their food comes from. And my kids they're definitely going to know that. They're going to know how to plant a garden and how to kill a deer and skin it and butcher it. And they're going to be pretty self-sufficient little kids if I have my way.
Well, and they're going to be much better off for it. We're kind of coming to the end of this. Now, you said you're going to be down in New Zealand for about a month, and then you're back home. Now, that we keep talking about fall, but doesn't Alaska starts about the middle of August for you? You start heading up north, don't you?
Yeah, I'll be home basically the month of July. I head up to Alaska the 29th of July. So I'll start caribou hunting and sheep hunting and grizzly bear hunting in August, and then moose and grizzly in September, and then brown bear hunting in October. And yeah, like I said, get home to rake the leaves, mow the grass, and start deer hunting in Wisconsin.
Oh, remember when we used to have that kind of energy? BillyMolesAdventures.com. Billy, we'll check in with you before you head up to Alaska, and we'll kind of get a recap of what happened here on your New Zealand trip. Lots of luck down there. Have some fun, man.
He's going to miss it.
He's going to be great. You guys take care.
Yeah, you're going to miss the bocce ball tournament in Chautauqua, man. It happens.
Uh-oh. Well, I'm sure you guys will be better off without me.
I don't know about that. Hey, Billy, thanks a lot. Tell the family hello for us.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. You take care.
Yeah, take care.
All right, there he goes. Billy Moles, BillyMolesAdventures.com. Check it out. He's got all sorts of sales on those Modern Man DVD series. Pretty cool stuff. Okay, it's time for The Boomer.
Two legendary races, one day. This Sunday, the Indianapolis 500 at 10 a.m. and the Coca-Cola 600 at 4 p.m. Memorial Day Sunday, only on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Boomer here from The Ticket Outdoors. Well, we made it through another long, cold winter in Minnesota. And guess what that means? It's time to hit the open water, baby. And I'm pumped to get back into the Alumacraft T-Pro 195 and get her wet. And I want to remind our listeners, now is a great time to check out the new lineup of Alumacraft boats. I love Alumacraft because they're made right here in Minnesota, and they're simply the best aluminum boat on the water. To learn more about Alumacraft and to find a dealer near you, go to alumacraft.com.
Happy Wednesday. This is your 105 The Ticket weather from Nature's Fury. Clearing clouds overnight, going to be a low of 45. Tomorrow, the start of a couple sunny days in a row, going to be 72 for a high for the Saints home opener. 74 and sunny on Friday. Your Memorial Day weekend, highs around 70 all weekend long. Small chance of rain on Saturday, bigger chance on Sunday, and on Monday, it's about a 50-50 chance. This weather update is brought to you by Nature's Fury. You can find Nature's Fury at your local Cub Foods and select holiday stores.
Hey, you know what time it is? It's springtime, and it's time to get to Mills Fleet Farm so you can give your yard a cut and a trim. Give the garden a makeover and turn the earth upside down. Plant, fertilize, weed, and feed. Build a wall, a fence, or how about a patio? Then, time to grill and chill. Yep, it's springtime, and it's time to get to Mills Fleet Farm for all your lawn, garden, and outdoor living supplies.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
And we're back. We're just talking to Billy Moles about he's going to be down there wintertime in New Zealand, being on the south side of the equator. They have the opposite seasons. You know, the toilet flushes the other way around.
I wonder if Billy skis. That'd be kind of fun to combine the whole deal.
I know folks that go down there and will do what we call it summer skiing, but they go down there this time of the year. Not quite now. They'll head down there July and August. September is their winter months down there in New Zealand. So he'll be in the high country. He'll be up in the snow. But we're not talking snow now. We're talking open water with Boom. Oh, nope, he's still trying to get a hold of him.
Well, I'll tell you what, back to New Zealand, I belong to the Wildwood Lions Club in Matamidi, and there's a lot of people who have been around forever. They're a lot older than I am, as a matter of fact. And a lot of successful people as well have traveled all around the world. And I've shared this with you before, and I've asked many of them, if you could take one trip, someplace you've been before, what would it be? And I bet 75% said New Zealand.
Yeah, I really would for that reason to go down there, and it sounds like I mean, how could you not want to go down there for a few weeks and do a little hunting? If you can just walk out and go hunting, bring your rifle, bring your skis.
Yeah.
I would do some skiing down there and some hunting. It sounds dreamy. I mean, we know from, not to nerd out on everybody, but what was it? Fantasy mode, Lord of the Rings. That was all shot in New Zealand. And just some of the panoramic views, and I had never really seen that sort of the country in New Zealand until I watched those movies.
I'm the only person that I know that has never read the book or seen the movies.
I wouldn't. I tried to read the book, I forget when I was a young man in my 20s, and I got like four pages into it and went just, ugh, this is like an encyclopedia.
I'm like you. It took me about 3 days to finish 50 Shades of Grey. I mean, I couldn't do the Lord of the Rings thing.
You hear about this is a true story. It happened last week. There was a principal walking past a classroom.
Yes.
I saw
We're at the end of the school year, so you know how it is. Uh-huh. They goof off and you show a movie, or everybody's just running out the clock
right at
this time of the year in school, especially your senior year. And they were showing the seniors. He asked them, hey, he went out and picked up 50 Shades of Grey because it was in the new movie section.
Yeah.
It looked young. He thought the kids would like it. And it was kind of funny. His wife said, trust me, he has no idea what that movie's about. That's kind of funny. Oh, he got boom. All right, let's talk to the young man who's probably celebrating Christmas. This is his Christmas right now. Up in Devil's Lake, we've got the one and only Boomer.
Hey, guys. Where the hell did he go?
I don't know. He should be on.
He's back in the boat.
I don't know, man. Did we lose him? Are you there?
Hey, can you guys hear me?
There you are. What's up, man?
Oh, man, I'm literally, are we live right now?
You're on the radio,
Chuck,
man.
Chuck Knobloch.
All right, jumping in. I'm out of breath. Literally, I just got off the boat on the marina when Mark called me, and I was in a dead sprint to get to the truck so I could get a little quiet. Guys, what an amazing trip I had up here on beautiful Devil's Lake.
You know, Boomer, there is a fine line between sharing it with your friends and just outright bragging. Your photos almost stepped over that line. I thought, no, it looks like you're having a blast, man. You know how you do the whole thing where you hold the fish out? And you've done it as a joke sometimes.
Right.
You've held a fish out to get, you know, that angle. So it's a little, you don't have to do that with the fish you're catching.
No, I mean, it's been a really special bite, guys. Probably one of those fishing memories that's going to last forever. You know, we had a cold front, and we had actually 48 hours ago here in Devil's Lake, we had some snow and 50-mile-an-hour winds, and as luck would have it, Drew, you know, every time we do a fishing trip, and we're going to talk about it on the show, guess what happens?
No, we get busted because of the weather. That says we've had bad luck.
Yes. Yeah.
Hey, we've all been fishing with Boomer, you guys more than I have, and have not necessarily had our best days. Now, Mark, you had at the end of a very long day, you guys went gangbusters, but we often theorize that maybe Boomer was the jinx. I think he put that to rest on this trip. It's not him. It's either going to be Strew or myself.
It's us.
I don't know.
Yeah, you guys could be the jinx. There was a little bit of crap talk in there, so we had to get to work. No, I'm just kidding. The weather had turned, and we had beautiful weather the last 2 days. It was 60 degrees, and it calmed down. And normally, as we talk about in the lake reports and fishing, it takes a couple days for Mother Nature and the lake to come into balance and the fish to get hungry. And they weren't just chomping at the bit. We had to work hard and really change the way we did things. But, man, we got really blessed. I tell you guys, and I'm surrounded by some of the most amazing anglers. We've had them on the show before, but, Brian Brosdahl.
Bro,
I was just walking up with him. You can't not see that guy in any retail store on a poster.
No, he's like Mark Lukey, but he can fish.
Yeah.
Same stature, though.
Yeah, and Steve Panaz, he's on the Sportsman's Channel Saturday mornings with Lake Commandos. He was the executive director for North American Fishermen. And then our photographer, Billy Linder. I mean, you guys can't see a catalog that involves in fish, sport a field, go to ICAST, that you don't see his work. Kenny Kaiser, he's a Hall of Fame freshwater fisherman, waterfowler from Kansas City. Pat Calmerton from Wisconsin, you see him all over the place. And I managed to kind of sneak in as the water boy to get to fish with these guys, and girls, and really lucked out. And they just had an amazing media event out here where we went for a tour, and we caught some fish. Now, we really had to change it up, but, guys, I caught my personal best monster northern pike. Yeah. I couldn't believe it.
Tell us about it. First walk us through it, and then tell us what he measured out at.
Yeah, you must have been fishing for walleyes, right, when you caught that northern?
Yeah, you know, actually what we were doing is we were chasing some bigger fish, and there's some different things that you can do as far as your technique, as far as how you're moving your rod and reel, or what you like to call a cadence, the presentation you were using, how you were hooking your minnow or your leech, and then the depth and the structure of water. And we went out to the bridges early this morning because that's where the moving water was. And that's where we felt the walleyes were going to be feeding on a forage base. And we weren't playing for a numbers game. We were really trying to target some fish, bigger fish. And guys, I got out there and we were there for about 10 minutes. And I looked at my guide who was with us. We have wonderful guides up here, McCoy's Guide Service, Perch Eyes. And I asked Aaron, and I'm looking at the graph, and I go, man, that looks like a monster fish. And he's like, yeah, it is. And then I just feel a little tug on the line, and I just snap the rod as hard as I can. And I'm like, oh, I think it's a little walleye. And the next thing I know, my rod tip goes flying back into the water, and I had a fight of a lifetime.
Yeah, beautiful.
And it was a jig and a leech. And the reason we were using leeches right now is because the fish had just came out of this major front for a couple days.
Okay.
And they were a little lazy, and they weren't feeling up to par. They weren't ready to get up there and swing for grand slams or nothing. And we were hooking the leeches near the front of the sucker. And I've got a quiz for you guys.
All right.
Which end of the leech do you guys think the head is?
The head is without that little button thing. The head is at the skinny end.
Yeah, I would have guessed otherwise, except you set it up like a trick question, and Stru seems to know that it's obviously not on the sucker end.
You're absolutely right, Stru. It is not on the sucker end. But we hooked them near the sucker, and there's a couple things that, you know, I was learning with Aaron is when you're chasing these bigger fish with a leech, and something for our listeners that I'd love to share is, a lot of folks wonder and they ask, you know, where do you hook your leech? Well, if you hook it near the sucker or right in the sucker, that leech is going to have a presentation that is more horizontal. It's almost like it's swimming. It's going to have a lazy presentation to those fish. And bigger fish, as you guys know, they typically aren't as aggressive as those little fish. And so if you're chasing littler fish, we like to hook those leeches more towards the middle, halfway up from the sucker, because that leech is going to spin when you're jigging it, and it's going to trigger more of a reaction bite. So I had hooked that leech near the front, and I had that little tug, and the next thing I know, guys, I was on for a fight of my life. I mean, I was all over the boat, and I looked at Aaron, and I'm like, man, I got to tighten up the drag. This thing's going to run us into the rocks. And he's like, don't do it. Don't do it. And I don't know exactly how long of a fight this monster pike put up, probably 10 to 15 minutes. But, guys, when we got it near the boat, you know that feeling in the deer stand you get, Zep, when your heart beats when you see a deer for the first time?
Yeah.
That's exactly what I had. I started shaking and screaming like a kid, like, get the flipping, beeping, beeping. I got to check to make sure there's no camera, right? And all of a sudden, we get it in the boat. And I couldn't believe how massive the head was on this pike. And I'm looking at him and go, guys, I think this is going to be my biggest pike ever. And, of course, we get the hook out. We lay it down. And with these big fish, you want to get them back in the water right away to create another memory for someone else. And, guys, I'm shaking in the truck right now telling you this story like my dad with the turkey.
Yeah.
And he's like, we got to get a measure.
I love you, Boomer.
I love you, Boomer. I got to go. That's a big SOP. I got to go.
Yeah, I got to go. You should see the spurs on this son of a bear. He puts the tape down, and it's 42 inches. And I couldn't believe it. So, of course, we get it ready.
I mean, you're getting close to musky size there.
Yeah. And, so we get it back in the live well, and then we want to get some pictures. And again, guys, Billy Linder, he's absolutely amazing. I mean, you guys have heard of the Linders, and he does all of that photography. You walk into places like iCast, a major magazine like Rapala or others, and you'll see his work. And we grab it out to do some pictures, and, you know, you start changing to look pretty for the camera, not the one you saw on social media. And this big pike got its way, though. So I'm holding this fish under the gill, and they're trying to get the lighting right. And this sucker just chomps on my thumb.
Right? Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yeah.
And a couple F-bombs float out, and of course you can't have that for any camera
You hollered, fish? What do you mean?
And I'm holding this pipe, and Billy's like, Boomer, don't move. And I see the blood coming down, and he's like, move your hand, no blood. And we got the photos of that pike, but it was amazing. And we took some pictures for a while. And then we got back out and started to work the shallows, and probably had about, I would say there was 8 or 9 boats out there of these personalities and professionals out there fishing, and we just had some really good luck. We used a couple of things, you know, it was a little lazier of a fish this day because of that cold front, so we were using leeches. And then as the water surface temp started to warm up, you know, we talk about that, it was in the 50s, and then it warmed up to about 54. We went away from the deeper spots of the bridge, and we went to the bays, and we were looking for any type of structure on Devils. And as you guys know, this lake 15, 20 years ago was what, 40,000 acres?
Closer to 80 or 90, but still it wasn't nearly as big as it is right now.
Right. And now, Strew, it's about 200,000 acres.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
For 400 miles of shoreline.
That was nuts.
We were just looking for any type of structure, so we found old gravel roads. I've talked about that on Lake Reports where you overlay Google Maps and found an old railhead crossing that had came through. And then that's where we started to target those walleyes, and we went to hooking those leeches for our listeners more towards the middle because we wanted some numbers. We caught a few there, and then we went to...
Boomer, explain why you're looking for that old rail crossing.
We're looking for any type of structure. Because... this type of lake is flooded prairie field and flooded farm field. It's not going to be an anomaly to go down there and see a beautiful silhouette of a silo in the water or an old barn. And so we're looking for any type of structure where there was a railhead, a gravel road, and, you know, for Christ's sakes, you might even be fishing over the foundation of an old barn.
Yeah.
Anything that's going to hold those fish where they feel they can either be a predator to sneak up on a forage base, or they're hiding from predators. And that's where we had found the walleyes. We were also throwing, Mr. Twister tails with a white color, a chartreuse green, 3 to 4 inches. And instead of, like, just jigging them, Strew, like we did at Geiger's, remember we had a jig and a minnow?
Yep.
We were fairly aggressive with that cadence because the water was warmer.
Mm-hmm.
We really had to slow it down, and I learned that from Jason at Perch Eyes, where it was just really a slow reel, and instead of feeling that traditional walleye bump, it was more of just dead weight, and you just, you know, you'd set the hook, and wow, I couldn't believe it, some of the walleye.
So you didn't
catch them.
You didn't feel it really tug or bite, you just kind of felt a pull on the line, and then you set it?
Yeah, all you did was feel dead weight, Zep, and, you know, a lot of guides will tell you that, and we talk about it. We've had it on the lake many a times, Strew, and Mark and I had it up on Traverse when he caught that beauty walleye. His hook sets are free. So if you know what kind of conditions you're in and you know you got a lazy bite, just set the frickin' hook, right?
Yeah.
The worst thing you can do is just reel in and recheck your line and see if your leech or your minnow or your plastic is still on the head of the jig. And that was really where we had our luck. But here's another tip for you guys when we talk about keeping leeches and keeping minnows. You know, a lot of folks like to use minnows this time of year because it's always a jig and a minnow bite. And that's what we talk about when we're up on Vermilion, when we're pounding the shoreline for walleyes, or when we're on Rainy or Traverse.
Yep.
Well, here we were using leeches for a couple reasons. One, they weren't coming off so quick. And two, lazier presentation for the fish. And three, you could keep them longer. They're a little more resilient to change of sunlight to shade to water temp. But when you're keeping leeches, what do you guys think the magical difference is as far as consistency of water temp? If that water temp varies more than X degrees, you're going to have a dead leech or a minnow. Take a guess, guys, what that is.
I would say 25 degrees.
All right, Zep, that's true. That's you, Zepper.
I'm going to have a dead leech or a minnow. Yeah, you know, I count 30 just to keep it close. But I think it's it can't be much colder than that.
No, actually, it's 7 degrees is what I learned today.
All right. I was just going to tell you, Boom, just so you know, Boom, we're coming up on about 8:49 right now.
All right. So we'll get into some great lake report for Mille Lacs and Leech and Osakis here in a minute. But here's a little trick for our listeners as well. If you bring those leeches home, and I was talking to Aaron McCoy about this, and he was great to share all of this with me, is you put those leeches in the fridge, and he said he can keep them for up to 3 months.
Really?
But change the water every 2 to 3 days, and so you don't have that temp variation of more than 7 degrees, have another bucket of water in the fridge next to the bucket you're keeping your leeches. So when you drain out the old water, you put the same temp water that was in the fridge in the bucket where the leeches are, and it will help keep them alive for at least, he said, 2 to 3 months.
All right, Boomer's got a lot to say. The Lake Report when we come back with Ticket Outdoors.
The Saturday night game of the week, St. Paul's Saints baseball on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Charging hard, he leaves his feet and dives to make the catch.
Our broadcast start with Live from Lower Town with Ben Holson and Sean Aronson. We talk Saints, baseball, and more starting at 5 p.m. Then the Saints pregame show starts at 6:45 p.m., followed by play-by-play from Sean.
Drilled high, deep left field, well hit, way back, goodbye!
Every Saturday, Saints home game on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Proudly fly our colors this Memorial Day. A 20-foot in-ground flagpole kit from Mills Fleet Farm is $89.99. A Perception Conduit 9.5-foot kayak is red, white, and blue, just $349.99. The Zebco Folds of Honor spin cast or spinning combos are only $29.99. 32-pack landscaper flats on sale, just $9.99 at Mills Fleet Farm. And on Memorial Day, remember those who fought for our freedom.
At most boat stores, what you see is what you get, which might sound good, but what you see may not be what you want. See, many big box boat stores get their boats pre-rigged, with equipment you may not want and places you may not want it. You wouldn't let someone pick out your wife or your kids, and they're almost as important as your boat. So come to Dan's Southside Marine, and we'll customize your boat to you. Say you're a lefty. You might want your depth finder here instead of there. Or if you're freakishly tall, you might want things at a special angle. Maybe you're a Virgo and you want everything in alphabetical order. We let you choose, even if we think it's weird. Because no matter where you choose to put things, at Dan's you're choosing the best. Motors by Suzuki, Yamaha, and Honda. Brands like Alumacraft Boats and Premier Pontoons. If you want what you see, you know where to get it. But if you want what you want, come to Dan's Southside Marine.
You'll not find a bigger inventory of Premier Pontoons and Alumacraft boats anywhere in the Twin Cities. Any boat you see online is available for sale at Dan's Southside Marine.
Now back to Ticket Outdoors, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Boomer, a kid in a candy store. He's up in Devil's Lake catching big fish. He's got a lake report for all of Minnesota here now for
come
us.
On, buddy.
Yep.
I feel like Richard Simmons.
You look like Richard
Simmons. Dancing with the oldies.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just had Tanner Tierney jump in the truck and away from the havoc of pictures that are happening down on the marina. We're going to go take the Alumacraft out tomorrow, take the T-Pro 195, take it for a spin, chase some walleyes. I think we'll hit the bridges. And then what are we going to do, buddy? We're going to go hit those bays and the weed lines. But I want to talk a little bit about Mille Lacs because I was chatting back and forth with Tony Roach this morning, and you guys know he's a great friend of the show, and he's got a wonderful guide business up on Mille Lacs, Roach's Guide Service. And for everything and negativity we hear about Mille Lacs because of the slot, you know, 19 to 21 inches, I'm waiting for Stru to bust my balls.
No. I'll let you step into this all by yourself.
I appreciate it, buddy. And, you know, the northern pike that you can keep 10, and but one's got to be over two. One can be over 30 if you keep two under 10 or something like that in six bass. Fish are biting because of the warm weather we've had on Mille Lacs. A lot of folks are having luck pitching jigs and shiners. Some are even using leeches. We talked about what I did on Devils. Look for those shallow rocks in about 9 to 12 feet of water is what Tony was telling me. And then the walleyes, because the water surface temp on Mille Lacs is starting to warm up into that, you know, mid-50 range and even flirting with a little higher, those walleyes are going to the secondary humps. So, Mark, you remember when we caught those walleyes on the secondary break lines of Traverse, right, when you caught that big mama?
Yes, sir.
So that's where the walleyes are as well on Mille Lacs, and you're starting to see them on the gravel bars and on the flats. And if you're going to go there, go rigging with a leech, and you can run, we call it a Lindy rig or a live bait rig. But Mille Lacs is really clear, and so your traditional rig, you're going to have a lead on of about 12 inches. Don't be afraid to bump that up anywhere from 24 to 36 inches. so you have a lot of separation from where your hook is and your leech to where your leader is, because the walleyes have been kind of spooky with that clear water, and go really slow. Tony was telling me that run that trolling motor of yours between 0.4 to 0.6 miles an hour, and you should have some luck. Lake Osakis, guys.
Hang on a second, Boom. Give me a break here, because you talked about how Mille Lacs is producing. I played softball Monday night. What day is today? Wednesday, yeah. Monday night, and one of my good friends, Gary Benson, is a huge fisher person. He's a big clam guy as well. And he fishes Mille Lacs opener every year. He has for years. He said by far this was the best opener his guys ever had on Mille Lacs.
Yeah, you know, I heard those comments echoed by HMG'er Eric Linnell. He was just up there. And then just the chat back and forth with Tony, it's been a great bite. So if you're in that Mille Lacs area and you're not necessarily looking to take a lot of fish home, because we know it's a one walleye slot and you can't keep any, you can't fish from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m., go out there, because there are still monster eyes out there. So you're exactly right, Stru.
Next Lake Osakis, right?
Yes, Lake Osakis, because we talk about that a lot up in Alexandria area. Yeah. That's been really heating up, too, because the water surface temp there is about 56 degrees. And I was talking to my buddy Scott Merwin, who runs Lake Osakis Guide Business, and I was actually with Scott and his wife, Kristen, who runs a large women's fishing organization. She's actually the president.
For large women?
Yeah. All fat ladies. They have to fish on pontoons.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're dirty. Cool. But looking for those walleyes between 18 to 24 feet of water on Osakis right now, and look for those deeper weed edges. You know, we work the weed edges here, Tanner, on Devils, and had some luck. That same type of philosophy is going to be used on Osakis. And look for those transitions of softer and harder bottoms. And you're going to be able to tell that from your graph. I can see a dirty joke.
We're thinking about fat ladies with hard bottoms. That's what we're thinking about.
I'm going to go back to the lady that you called out on radio one time, Stru, and you said she had cankles.
No. She's, don't.
Yeah, you already played that, me sounding like an idiot last week when we had our blind hunter on.
Oh, my goodness.
When he called me ignorant.
Use about an 1/8 ounce dark jig. Darker colors are what's working. And if you're going to rig, they're using about a 2-foot lead and a snell. You can use one hook or two hooks on your leech and just troll it again between about 0.4 to 0.6 miles an hour. Lake Minnetonka, guys, is a staple. It's close to the metro. You know, the water depth is at a good place, so you don't have those no wake restrictions like we had last year. If you're going to be chasing walleyes on Minnetonka this time of year, and I know HMG's Adam Griffith was there, and, you know, Jared LaFrance, and he likes to catch those green fish.
I was out. I caught a couple on Maxwell on Sunday.
That a boy. Did you go near the channels? Were you near the channels?
No, I was doing some shore fishing. Nobody gave me a T-Pro 195 Alumacraft, so I went down, Bowen, the Memorial Park there on the east side of the lake, because the wind was almost. I had my big ugly stick, or my ugly stick, No, I wasn't fishing that, but I was looking for some largemouth, and the wind was coming in from the west, so I picked a spot on the east on a little peninsula there and worked both sides of that. That's the worst Andy Griffith whistle I've had. That's worse than the drum roll.
I couldn't do that earlier.
But I was working both sides of the peninsula and found a little batch of smallies and had some fun.
Well, if you want to chase those walleyes, here's a couple channels that have been pretty good on Lake Minnetonka. Holsteads or Forest are a couple channels that have been good, and it's more of an evening bite when I was talking to Adam. A jig and a minnow. Or if you just want to sit there and crack a soda pop like Stru likes to do and throw your Zepco and see what the hell's going to hit it,
yeah.
Do a slip bobber and a leech and you're going to have some luck. If you do find dirtier water or dirty old men like Stru, you can catch the walleyes throughout the day, but more of the evening's going to be your bite. Now,
I like the leech tip. I really do, because I went out with some minnows and jigs and, I wish I would have tried the leech. I'm going to have to try the leech this weekend. That might be the secret tip right there.
Yeah, and the other thing to think about the leech is, Zep, not to get too fish dorky, but I'm about to.
Why would you stop now?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to stay consistent.
Yeah.
If you're going to hook it through the sucker, which is not the head, the tail, it's going to pull away easier, but it's going to have a flatter, more like a fishy presentation where it's just going to be swimming, you're going to look for larger fish that way. But if you want it to be more aggressive and spinning and look for a reaction bite, hook it down from the sucker.
So I'll start with a hook close to the sucker for the big ones, and then after about 5 minutes when I'm bored, yeah, I'll re-hook it in the middle so I can just catch something. Okay, drive on, buddy.
Absolutely. And then we're just going to round it out on Minnetonka and talk about chasing bass, because largemouth are fun to catch. And, you know, hell, if you can't catch the walleyes or the crappies, you know, guys, you can always catch a bass, right?
Well, I don't know. I didn't have that much luck with the large ones. But, yeah, you know, I was trying to find some structure and find those dock areas and kind of pitch in around those. And like I said, I found some smallies, but no bigmouth out there yet.
Well, you know, North Arm and Maxwell are a couple favorites, and Zep, that's actually where I took you, and that's really a great place to get some pitcher fish.
Yeah.
Those bass are shallow right now in Tonka. You're going to find them in about less than 8 feet of water. Now, the water surface temp in Tonka is about 59 degrees is what Adam and Jared were telling me. Bass typically like to go on beds about 64 degrees, and I know that's only a 5-degree difference. But when those largemouths start to get on beds, then they get really ornery and they get hungry and aggressive and they're going to get meaner. But you can still find them shallow right now in less than 8 feet of water. And if you go out there, one way to do it, and it's really easy, anyone can do it, they call it wacky worming. Just buy a plastic worm. They're going to be about 6 inches to seven, probably 5 inches long, six inches long. Go to the bait store, ask them for the type of hook that you can wacky worm with. It's probably going to be like a size 6, maybe a size 4. Hook that worm right through the middle. Cast it. You probably want to put a little weight on there. You can put like a little tornado weight on the top and just jig it up and down in less than 8 feet of water. You're going to catch some largemouth. Or you can run a spinner if you like to cast. If you have that adrenaline rush from throwing crankbait, you can throw a spinner with a Colorado blade. I'd recommend like a gold or a silver for Minnetonka. Or you can run a jerkbait, which is some bass lingo, which is basically you're reeling and then jerking. But the bass are also starting to pop on Minnetonka as well.
I'll get back out there and try it again.
And that's what I got, boys.
Well, you've got a lot, my friend. Thanks for being here. Congratulations on the good fishing in Devil's Lake. We're looking forward to seeing you next week.
Yes, boys, I'll see you guys next week, and I can't wait to get your asses out here in July to go see that $4 million expansion that Kyle put it at Woodland, because it is absolutely phenomenal.
Sounds like a party. Thank you, Boomer.
All right, guys, be good. Tight lines, and I'll see you guys next week.
And we want to thank our sponsors again, Dan Southside Marine, Fleet Farm, Alumacraft, Lakes Trading Company, and Custom Truck Accessories. We rerun it Sunday mornings at 6 o'clock. Catch the podcast in the next day or two at 105theticket.com. For Stru, for Mark Lukey, this is Zep and Boomer up in Devil's Lake, signing out.
Is your green thumb ready? It's time to start your gardening projects. Mills Fleet Farm's Outdoor Garden Center is open. Get nursery quality at low fleet prices. You'll find a big selection of colorful hanging baskets and containers. Brighten up flower beds with annuals and perennials. Plus their vegetable plants, herbs, and more. Stop by your local Mills Fleet Farm's Outdoor Garden Center, and you'll get to enjoy beautiful color all summer long. Mills Fleet Farm,